And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It's Friday, a free-for-all Friday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. This is a live broadcast. It is the 15th day of February 2013. I'm Doug Hagman. With me is my co-host, my son, Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report, two career investigators in search of the truth. Folks, what you're about to hear over the next 3 hours is just unbiased, uncensored news, analysis, and information you need to know in these very perilous times. I'd like to report, by the way, that our chat room feature, the interactive chat feature of our program, is down.
Temporarily.
The platform in which it's done, which is being done, is Blog Talk Radio. They are working on the issue. So please hold your phone calls, emails, and messages, because they are working on it as we speak.
We'll let you know as soon as they get it back up.
Right. Folks, we broadcast live each and every weeknight from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find us at our home base, which is HomelandSecurityUS.com. And you can also catch us as we are simulcast on the Christians United Broadcasting Network. We want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. Thank you for your belief and trust in us as we walk through this really perilous minefield of current events together. As if we don't have anything to talk about. Meteor strikes, yeah. Lightning strikes at the Vatican. Holy cow. Joe, welcome to the studio tonight.
Glad to be here. We had a fantastic show last night with Tom Horn and Chris Putnam, authors of Petrus Romanus, and they were joined by Mr. Steve Quayle. And re-listening to that show, the parts I've been able to listen to over, it was a fascinating show. And there was a lot of information in there, and I would urge anybody who hasn't seen it to go back and listen to it again, especially those who have additional questions or want additional information. There was a lot said in there I even missed, and in the short time I got to re-listen to the part I listened to again, picked up on some of the things that I missed, and some of the questions I had were answered already in there. But just fantastic information, and what a insane time period of history, or the present we live in, when it is history, if there is a history book on America and its rising and falling and the events that surrounded it, what will be said about this time in our history, in history books, 50 years from now, if the Earth is still around?
It's a good question. If we're still in the same realm as we are right now, and
yeah.
I don't see that.
The topic of the show, the signs of the times. I mean, just we see the record close asteroid pass by us today, the closest ever recorded in history. As also yesterday, a meteor struck Russia.
Right,
exploded over Russia. Yep. 1,100 injured. It says, with a blinding flash, a booming shockwave, a meteor blazed across the western Siberian sky Friday and exploded with a force of 20 atomic bombs, injuring more than 1,000 people as it blasted out windows and spread panic in a city of 1 million. They said that NASA estimated the meteor was about the size of a bus, weighing 7,000 tons. The fireball it produced was dramatic. Video was shot by startled residents of the city of Chelyabinsk. showed its streaming contrails. It arched toward the horizon just after sunrise, looking like something from a world-ending science fiction movie. And I do have a quick audio we'll play on this from Russia Today. Then I will let my dad get into what he wants to get into.
Sure.
And also tonight we're going to be talking about a number of different things. There are several states trying to pass legislation to confiscate guns, making gun owners criminals. Also, we have information on Obamacare, drones, the expansion of drones. If you remember the other day, there was a Washington Times article, FAA officials say, no armed drones in the U.S. Well, today the FAA took major steps in expanding drone use in America. But let's get to this audio clip of what was happening in Russia as a meteor shower smashed buildings and rained debris across the city. And
let me just explain this for a second, though. It wasn't really a meteor shower. What happened, according to the scientific explanation, was it was a single bolide, if you will, a meteor. It entered the Earth's atmosphere, and at a level, a certain level, it exploded. And so it was a single meteor, and it exploded, and the various portions of that rained down in different but in close proximity to each other, which that's what happened. I guess just to be perfectly clear scientifically, perhaps, not or just, you know, practically speaking. So go ahead and run that.
And we start with some breaking news this hour. People in the Urals in Russia have seen burning objects raining down from the sky after a meteorite exploded above the earth, causing a meteor shower. Eyewitnesses reported several blasts rocking the region and as long trails of smoke in the air. And RT's Lucy Gafanov has more now. So, Lucy, what's going on there?
Hi there, Yulia. Well, remember, imagine you're driving to work on a beautiful, calm Friday morning and suddenly a massive fireball appears out of nowhere in the sky. You're thinking to yourself, is this a plane crash? Is this a rocket attack? A UFO? Well, when it comes to the Urals region in Chelyabinsk, the city in Russia, it's actually a meteor shower. This is what took place this morning. Really stunning images that you're seeing there right now. Now, what we know from officials, according to officials and eyewitnesses, is that a series of explosions, possibly 5 to 6, took place when this meteor exploded in the air, raining down molten hot debris onto the ground. Now, this has caused widespread panic in at least 3 cities. Witnesses reported the walls of houses shaking, windows being blown out, cell phones even reportedly stopped working in some areas. Now, we're still getting the details. Details are still slowly coming in from officials, but what we know so far is that there are no casualties, no massive injuries. At least that's what we're hearing at the moment. There has been some concern about potential small injuries at a school, unconfirmed. So some schools are reportedly being evacuated. We're also hearing that a zinc factory was hit by a piece of the meteor, but no leaks reported so far. Officials did do preliminary testing of radiation levels in the area. They say that that is okay, but of course tests are going to continue throughout the day. The biggest issue right now is the falling debris and the black smoke that people are reporting that is hanging in the air. So very, very shocking developments, probably not the kind of surprise you want to see on your way to work on Friday morning. One interesting fact of note is that the world is closely watching another meteor that's supposed to graze past the Earth later on this evening. That's the size of an Olympic-sized swimming pool. This is an unrelated incident, and of course, as it develops, we will continue to bring you more information. Again, no casualties reported so far. Radiation levels are okay at the moment, but of course, we'll have to keep you up to date as the developments come in.
And there was the local report of what was happening as windows were shattering and pretty much chaos was taking place, as you would imagine. I mean, just imagine waking up to a big boom and your windows shattering in the
There are a number of great YouTubes. There are a number of great YouTubes that you can plug into or watch this phenomenal spectacle come down. And I have to ask, do you think that a meteor strike in Russia And one unverified, I believe, in Cuba. And a double lightning strike at the Vatican. And a papal resignation. Following a papal resignation. Do you think that maybe these are messages that we should be paying attention to? Well, if you listen to the corporate media there, of course, no. What you should be paying attention to is Lady Gaga and, of course, Marco Rubio and bread and circus of the political spectrum. Now, before I go any further, I just want to say this. I want to extend my heartfelt thanks to everybody. I have on HomelandSecurityUS.com and, again, FreePress.com, a tribute to my good friend who is no longer with us, a canine friend who was with me for the last 13 years. I want to thank everyone who sent their regards in the form of emails and messages, and it was overwhelming, and comments of at CanadaFreePress.com, and thank you so very much for your very kind and comforting words. It's almost as if I lost I did lose a member of my family. Some people can't understand I should probably say this for those new to the program or just learning about this. I lost my 16-year-old Australian Shepherd. She was my constant companion for the last 13 years in certain cases. Or she worked with me in the investigative business, and she was just a great, great friend and came to the studio frequently. But she is no longer with us. She passed away yesterday afternoon. It was pretty rough for the last 2 weeks, which if people have been asking, well, you haven't been writing very much and you've been hard to get a hold of and you've been not updating as regularly as you said you were going to. Well, that's the reason. And I was caring for her, and it took a lot of my time and my energy. And I just want to thank you for your patience and but most certainly thank you for all of your kind words, and God bless every one of you. Thank you. Thank you so very much. It's so, so appreciated. It's just, I was just overwhelmed by your.
Yeah. the loss of a dog is very difficult. And, one thing I will say though, she was a 16-year-old, and, there was a couple times within the last 2-3 years where, didn't think she was going to get through it, and she did. And she did have that extra time here, and she was in a good home.
Yes, she was. And Joe, I got to tell you, you took great care of her at times, and you were a good friend to her, and she appreciated it. And I'll tell you, as I started out the article, there's a very special bond between a man and his dog, and it's different too, even between like a woman and their dog, but a man and his dog. It's a real special bond, and I'm lucky. I'm very fortunate because I've got a good family. I've got a good wife. I've got a tremendous wife, tremendous family, great son, great daughters. Great, you know. I'm very fortunate, very blessed to have my time with Holly. I don't want to belabor the issue, but I just want to say thank you. Thank you so very much for your very kind words. I was really bowled over from that. And I also want to thank Judy and Brian from Canada Free Press. What a tremendous article Judy wrote. When I read that this morning, I thought I was, I'll tell you what, I didn't think I had anything left in me, but she just really knocked me over with her article. So thank you all. But moving along, if I can continue just in one thing that was on my mind. Now, Joe had named the program. He didn't tell me what he named it. And he, of course, Joe, tell the audience, those joining us late, what the name of the program is.
Signs of the Times.
All right. It's kind of funny because earlier, before the program started, Signs of the Times, I don't know whether folks, if you've had any recent conversations with your family members, how did we get here? What's going on? People are starting to wake up, and this is a good thing. To me, when a meteor comes into the atmosphere and there's such a show, no one is seriously hurt. to my knowledge. It's a good thing.
Well, let me say this. So you said some are waking up. You couldn't tell that today. I went and got my hair cut and sitting waiting for about 20 minutes till I got to go sit in the chair to get my hair cut, and there were several people that were waiting also, a few women and their children,
right.
A few older gentlemen and people who were getting their hair cut and sitting there listening for 20 to 30 minutes about their conversations, what they were talking about, how they were speaking. I might as well have been in a room full of monkeys. I mean, you talk about the dirtiest language.
Wow.
The most unintelligent using of phrases, unarticulate. The subject matter was nothing of any substance that I heard at all.
I just want to say, I want to laugh because you said unarticulate, and I don't mean to correct you.
I know, I'm not articulate.
Inarticulate.
I'm not an articulate person, but...
No, but you know what?
I'm not... I mean, the use of the language, the bad language accompanied by... It's like these people have a lack of a vocabulary to where they can't express themselves, so they just use stupid phrases and bad language. Yeah.
You know, you're right, and what an observation too. Give me, if you can remember, give me one that really struck at you. What phrase or what, if anything, if you can say it on air.
Well, I can't say on air what struck me as far as the bad language is concerned, but in the women talking to their children while they were trying to talk to each other, they acted inconvenienced by their children when their children were asking simple questions. And, you know, there were things hanging, advertisements hanging on the ceiling, and they were spinning around. There were three-sided advertisements, and they were spinning around because of the just the wind that blows through the store when you open the door and shut the door and people moving around. And one of the kids asks the mother, "How's that spinning?" And the mother's like, "Shut up," as she's on her phone, you know.
Right.
Not paying attention to the children, keep telling them to shush and being real rude to them while either texting or talking to other people.
I got to tell you, I was in the store the other day. I had to pick up, it was actually in the drugstore, and this woman was in there with two children. And the one of the two children ran down the aisle, the length of a drugstore aisle, and almost knocked me over. Actually, knocked one of my shoes off. And of course, my shoes are tied. I'm not sure exactly how he did this, but he came up to my, I don't know, just right below my chest. So I don't know how old he would have been. And the woman never said anything to the child except, "Hey," in the name of the child, "get your blank, blank, blank over here, or you won't play Xbox when you get home." And I thought, wow, you know, he probably shouldn't be playing Xbox or whatever the video games might be anyway. But you're right about the total lack of civility and the lack of the ability to, or
the lack of intelligence, the lack of ability to interact with
right
other people, except on a level that is, it seems like the IQs would be in the low 50s of an average person. And I felt though as if I were to start talking to people about subject matter, even news stories that are going on, things the way we talk on our show,
they would
look at me like I'm an alien.
Right. Exactly.
And it's very uncomfortable to be, you know, you're in your own town and you see these people and you're, my goodness, we're in a lot of trouble.
You know, as a society, collectively we are, and this was one of the goals of the communists from back in the mid-20th century, and that's to take over our schools and to take over our just basically take everything over, destroy it, and that's what this regime is planning on doing or is attempting to do.
Yeah.
Now, I just want to say this. Before the show, I had spoken to my contact with close intelligence source contact, and a couple of things, just so you know. I received additional verification concerning the cyber warriors via Obama, the Obama campaign. Not that I questioned anything that my DHS source gave me, but I received additional confirmation about that. And the fact is, they are so active right now that don't trust anything that you really see on the internet or read on the internet. Double check it, triple check it, do whatever you have to do. But they're very active in matters of anything concerning Obama, Obama's agenda, and specifically this. And this is probably the heart of the matter. Folks, we are looking at a dollar collapse in this coming to this country. The collapse of our economy to such an extent that none of us are going to be able to have, or not, I mean, it's going to affect all of us. In fact, it's going to be a global event. And the dollar, what's the dollar backed by? It used to be backed, of course, by gold. But it's not backed by gold anymore. Of course, that all ties to gold were removed on August 15th, 1971. So it's not that. It's backed, if anything, it's backed by oil. And it's backed by Saudi oil. Well, okay, so what does that mean? It means that as things heat up in Syria, as things heat up with Iran, as things heat up in the Middle East, we're going to see a magnificent or a significant and magnificent destabilization of our dollar. Now, everyone should be mentally and spiritually prepared for what's about to take place in this country and elsewhere.
Yes, most importantly, spiritually, and with that will come mental preparedness. But to a great extent, we can't really get mentally prepared because we don't know how perverse or how far out things that will manifest in this physical world will be, and we don't know how that will affect our mental ability or our mental state. I mean, some people, as the Bible says, you know, people will die from the fear of what's coming.
Men's hearts will fail them. You know, and this is one thing I think our program offers that others don't, and this is where I appreciate you so very much. In the spiritual realm, you could teach, I mean, you've taught me so much, and you could teach, and you have taught others, listeners, much about the spiritual aspect of things. A lot of it hard taught or hard learned things, but nonetheless very valuable. But when we take a few steps back and take a look at what's taking place, the Vatican, the lightning, the meteor, and other things as well, we can see the quickening here take place. Well, what's going to happen? What can we expect here in the United States? Frankly, we can look at gun confiscation as a possibility. We have some information on that tonight. We can look at gun registration, different than confiscation, except it just precedes confiscation. We'll be talking about that tonight. We can look at cyber attacks throughout the internet. That's going to be taking place, or they are going to be taking place. That, of course, is part and parcel to a wholesale robbery of your account, my account, our accounts on a wholesale level. When they hit banks, when they hit retirement accounts, then we have no money. Well, that's going to be partly blamed on hackers when the real culprits are the central bankers and their people. But one thing in particular that we need to be aware of is the dollar. And look, the Brennan, for example. Brennan is in line, or he is the nominee, presumptive nominee for the CIA. Well, Brennan, just to let you know who Brennan is, he was a top counterterrorism advisor during Obama's first term. In January, Obama chose him to head the CIA. Well, the decision to name Brennan a career CIA officer came 2 months after Petraeus stepped down after admitting an extramarital affair. Here's the deal with that. They knew Petraeus had this affair. They knew Petraeus had other things that were in a closet, nicely tucked in a closet. They knew that, and they kept it secret. Brennan, or Petraeus, was working in the CIA with that held over his head. So anything that he was told to do, he did. What's in Brennan's background? Well, obviously, the first thing that comes to your mind is he's a Muslim. He converted to Islam. Everyone's saying it. The FBI's saying it. Perhaps. And even if that's true, Joe and I were talking earlier, even if that's true, that's the least. If, believe me, that's really not the most important thing to worry about. For me to say that means that there's much worse to consider about Mr. Brennan. Mr. Brennan, and it's important for people to really understand where he comes from, his background. Mr. Brennan had a 25-year career in intelligence, obviously focused on terrorism. He had been chief of staff to George Tenet, then director of the CIA, back in 2009 at the time of his appointment. And he was the CIA station chief in, folks, you want to take a stab at where? That's right, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, back in the 1990s. Well, what does that matter? Well, here's the thing, and how does this connect with the dollar? How does this connect with the American economy? See, if you believe things have been set up and orchestrated, then here is the deal. This goes back to way back to the beginning of our relationship with Saudi Arabia back in the late 30s and early 40s. But here is where it leads to today. All of the men, all of the globalists have been created. All of the chess pieces have been put into place. They're in place right now. Brennan is a chess piece of the globalists. And when we look at what's going on, Brennan has been the closest to Saudi Arabia and is our top intelligence officer, will be the closest to Saudi Arabia, second only to perhaps George Herbert Walker Bush. But Benghazi, that was a Saudi intelligence operation. Well,
you know,
who go ahead.
Not to interrupt your flow, but I still have audio up here on the switchboard about testimony from Benghazi, from a general to Panetta.
Go ahead and play that. I think that would be appropriate.
This is Panetta. This is something we didn't get a chance to cover because there was all this other information going on.
I know.
This first clip is Panetta talking about Obama's absence on the night of the Benghazi attack.
And we'll tell you where he was, too.
So he didn't ask you what ability we had in the area and what we could do.
No, I think, I mean, he relied on both myself as secretary and on General Dempsey's capabilities. He knows generally what we've deployed into the region. We've presented that to him in other briefings. So he knew generally what was deployed out there. But as to specifics about time, et cetera, no, he just left that up to us.
Did you have any further communications with him that night?
No.
Did you have any other further communications? Did he ever call you that night to say, how are things going? What's going on? Where's the consulate?
No, but we were aware that as we were getting information on what was taking place there, particularly when we got information that the ambassador, his life had been lost, we were aware that that information went to the White House.
Did you communicate with anyone else at the White House that night?
No.
No one else called you to say, how are things going?
No.
Okay. And Since then, has the president asked you why weren't we able to get, in light of the second attack that occurred 7 hours later, armed assets there in order to help those who were left and attacked in the annex?
The president has made very clear to both myself and General Dempsey that with regards to future threats, we have got to be able to deploy forces in a position where we can more rapidly respond.
But just to be clear, that night he didn't ask you what assets we had available and how quickly they could respond and what we could do to help those individuals there.
I think the biggest problem that night, Senator, was that nobody knew really what was going on there.
And there was no follow-up during the night, at least from the White House directly?
No, there wasn't.
I would, if I could just...
And there you have Panetta saying Obama was nowhere to be found.
Well, yes. Let me go down a side road here, folks, as to where... Oh, by the way, we just got a notice from BTR. The BTR chat room should be open in several minutes. They're monitoring this broadcast, by the way. They're monitoring the progress on the chat room. So please just be patient as they bring this up. Take care of their technical difficulties. I think we might have blown them out of the water last night, the numbers last night. I'm not going to tell you the numbers, but I can tell you this. It's set all sorts of records for blog talk and for internet radio.
Yeah, we had a huge live listen audience, and it was a big show. It was a great show. But back to Panetta here.
Yeah,
he said, though he did meet with Obama at 5 o'clock at a pre-scheduled gathering, the president left operational details, including knowledge of what resources were available to help Americans under siege, up to us. In fact, Panetta says the night of 9/11/2011, he did not communicate with a single person at the White House. The attack resulted in the deaths of 4 Americans, including Ambassador Chris Stevens. Obama did not call or communicate in any way with the Defense Secretary that night. There were no calls about what was going on in Benghazi. He never called to check in. That is from Panetta.
Well, one has to wonder where Obama was. And according to unofficial sources, but reliable sources, Mr. Obama was otherwise indisposed at the residence in the White House. And according to information I have, this is total rumor, if you will. I can't back it up. I don't have proof. But he had a visitor at the White House.
And this article goes on to say he also had a call with Prime Minister Netanyahu about the UN General Assembly that was going to be taking place 2 weeks later.
Was that denied or was that confirmed?
It doesn't say. It says, but Obama did have time to make a political call to the Israeli Prime Minister. We do know one thing the president found time to do that evening is call Benjamin Netanyahu in order to defuse a controversy about Obama's refusal to meet with Netanyahu 2 weeks later at the UN General Assembly. According to a White House announcement that evening, he spent 1 hour on the phone, Crystal wrote.
All right. I would suggest if you really are interested in what Mr. Obama was doing, or if that is his name, what he was doing in the residence quarters, you search the Chicago male clubs, because there's the information I've got, and I don't know if the White House logs would actually verify this, because a lot of them are sanitized. He has a frequent and routine visitor on a weekly basis to the White House.
Reggie Love?
Well, one could describe it as that.
There's a headline up on Drudge that's been there about Obama taking a vacation without Michelle, separate vacations. So separate vacations for Barack and Michelle Obama. The White House confirms today that Obama will be vacationing in Florida this weekend, while the First Lady will be in Colorado. The two daughters will be with Michelle.
You know something, I just wonder too about these vacations. Can you imagine, folks, running a company, if you ran a company as Obama is reportedly running the United States, Can you imagine taking vacations like this?
He is going to be in Florida, expected to be hitting the links with golf pros and buddies in Florida, and also Vice President Joe Biden and his family will also be in Colorado this weekend on vacation.
Well, America won. You know what, America? Americans who voted for Obama, you wanted a king. You wanted a royalty. You've got it.
Yeah, and there's an article we skipped over from a couple days ago. Obama, 57 vacation days since vowing he will not rest.
Right.
Will not rest until anyone can find a good job.
Well, look, 57 vacation days, I think, are more vacation days than I've had in my life. Probably, well, I know yours too, but yeah, it's ridiculous. So, but back to Brennan and back to where we're at in the collapse of the dollar. Here's the situation. I've often said this, and these really are not my words. So my hat's off to the individual who has really stated it eloquently, much more eloquently than I could ever come up with myself. But America is a captured operation. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, who are we working for, actually? Who is America working for? And if you look at the situation with the dollar, you tie it to energy. The dollar is backed by the free flow of oil. That's the only thing that really is keeping the dollar afloat. So, and never in the time of history has this ever been such where you have had so many economic factors that are leaning against the viability of the dollar. So the camel that will break the dollar's back, it does go back to the Middle East, does go back to Benghazi, does go back to Brennan, does go back to that whole situation with Syria and Iran. Something is going to take place, perhaps. This is what I believe, but this is also based on research and information, where the dollar, which is again backed by the free flow of oil or energy, that is going to be threatened, or actually will take place, whether the Strait of Hormuz might close or whatever, and the dollar will suffer to the extent where it could perhaps not recover, collapse, and we're going to be looking for a solution. They've already created a solution through the G20. You're not going to hear this on any radio or television station, not even the Dave Ramsey show.
Is he still on the air?
Yeah, because everything is fine. We know everything is fine. But here's the situation. We paid, well, think of it this way. Look at Benghazi. Because Benghazi, as I've often said, was a window, was the pullback of a curtain. If we looked at what was taking place in Benghazi and got the real answers by the real by real Congress people, we would know. We would understand what's going on. But we, as America, or the CIA anyway, we're a branch office of Saudi intelligence. You know, we have paid the Saudis in power, by power. They have the lowest cost of production and volume of oil. So, of course, well, we made a deal with the Saudis a long time ago. We'll buy your oil, or you supply us your oil. We'll provide you with military protection. And nations can't compete on that level. They have us literally over a barrel. We are totally beholden to the Saudis in terms of energy, but that's going to quickly come to an end. And that's going to come to an end because of the control of the flow of energy, which controls everything. It controls the price of our food. It controls everything. That's going to be interrupted. The dollar, I mean, the dollar right now sits on the edge of a razor. Once again, we've never been in this position, and spending is out of control. So So by design, and for the past generation, this moment in time has been orchestrated. Obama, as the alleged president of the United States, electing or appointing people like Panetta, like Brennan, who has a long history with the Saudis, and who may or may not be a Muslim, but in fact he's got a long history. And the things that he's got over him, or he has over Obama, are the passport office break-in records from 2008, among other things, but that quickly comes to mind. And of course, Lieutenant Quarles Harris was a victim. But here's what we really have to understand. Syria will be the tipping point. The Russians, of course, have a lot at stake. Putin, by the way, think about this. He's the wealthiest man in Russia. $80 billion. Did he get that money by being president of Russia? Of course not. How do you get that money? He got that money through the sale of oil, by having his hands in oil. Now, what's going to take place, and we can go back to the Rockefeller-Aramco alliance, the Rockefeller, and by the way, folks, when communism reportedly fell, where did Rockefeller, quote, vacation for several months? In Russia. Why? Why would you do that? Why would you vacation in Russia to look after his investments? So Rockefeller is behind this. But what's taking place right now is a direct assault on the U.S. dollar via energy, oil. And this is the choke point. Where energy, oil, that's everything runs on that. Everything depends on that. Well, how does Brennan fit in? Well, obviously, Brennan has close ties with Saudi Arabia and is part of the pan-Arab state agenda. This is why it's so important that we understand what is taking place. When the dollar falls, who is behind it? And who is the servant and who is the master? In this case, between America and Saudi Arabia, look at the bow of Obama, unless you think that I'm picking on Obama. Look at the closeness, if you will, almost the incestuous closeness between George W. Bush and the Saudi royalty. And that goes back further than Bush. But in the end, who is the servant and who is the master? See, we promise Saudi protection in return for their oil. And once again, why the Saudis? Because that was the cheapest oil we could buy because of their dollar. I mean, they had the lowest cost of getting the oil out of the ground and selling it. This all started, by the way, I mean, this latest incarnation involved Kissinger back in 1974 making some agreements, but this also, the agenda of the Saudis goes back into the 1960s, at least this current incarnation, where it was the dream of the Saudis to be to create a pan-Arab state all across the Middle East. I mean, just think of the new Nebuchadnezzar, if you will. But once again, who is the servant? Who is the master? But see, more importantly at this point is this. Who does the Saudis answer to? Or who do the Saudis answer to? Just very quickly, we're witnessing this one-world governance tactic right now that people like the Fords and the Rockefellers, basically a group of 300 to 3,000, I don't know the number, but you've got the Council on Foreign Relations, you've got the Trilateral Commission people, you've got the Bilderbergers, you've got the people who go to the power brokers, who go to worship some Baal over in California. These are the people who are behind this One World Order plan. The real name of the game is 1984, not the year, but the template, we are going to have, or we're going to witness, systematic population reduction, forced sterilization, and anything else that these planners deem necessary to establish absolute control in their, quote, humanitarian, end quote, utopia. But to enforce these plans, you've got to have an all-powerful world government, which we are headed to. You can't do this if individual nations have sovereignty. And unfortunately, America, to them, unfortunately, America has that sovereignty. Well, how? What's the quickest way to destroy sovereignty? It's to destroy our currency. And that is why they're after our dollar. And before you can facilitate this great merger of all countries, you've got to centralize control within each nation. You've got to destroy local police. You've got to remove guns from the hands of citizenry. You've got to replace our once free constitutional republic with an all-powerful central government. And isn't that what we're doing through health care, through the revisions of the tax code because of health care? Look, this happened under the Nixon administration and every administration with perhaps Reagan forward. See, every action of any consequence, despite the smokescreen, has centralized more power. And we are rapidly becoming an all-powerful central government, or this nation is rapidly becoming or instilling an all-powerful central government. But so what we are witnessing right now, folks, is a communist tactic, pressure from above, pressure from below. We talked about this. Others have talked about this. Historian Jan Kozak wrote a book and, in fact, talked about this. This pressure as a device was used by the communists to capture the control of Czechoslovakia. The pressure above comes from the insiders, the secret, ostensibly respectable comrades in the government, in the establishment, forming the radicalized mobs in the streets below. So what you see in the radical nature, even Occupy Wall Street and others, in the unions, this is all from the One World Order people, the street rioters, the shills. Well, they're nothing but shills, pawns, puppets, dupes, whatever you want to call them, for an oligarchy of the elitist conspirators working above to turn America's limited government into an unlimited government with complete control over our lives and property. And, of course, the American middle class, we, you and me, and anyone who works for a living, we're being squeezed to death. We've got revolutionary groups that we've seen evolve. Larry Grathwell talked on this program about the SDS and, of course, the Weather Underground. Well, who do you think, as a group, who financed them? And who's financing them now? Well, League for Industrial Democracy, back in the 60s, back in the early 60s, they were financed by a group with strong ties to the Council on Foreign Relations. Even the Black Panthers. Hey, remember the Yippies? the Young Social Alliance? They were financed by people with close CFR ties. So what we're seeing right now is a direct assault on our sovereignty by a direct assault on our dollar in order to conform to a one-world government. That's the larger picture everyone should be looking at. And I'll just close my thoughts by saying that if you want to know, I mean, the question is, I believe the question should be, you know, if we're answering to the Saudis, well, who are the Saudis answering to? And it's my contention the Saudis are answering to the very people we're talking about. And you're looking at the Rothschild, Rockefeller, CFR, Trilateral Commission, the Council of 300, this group, the Illuminati, this group, they're answering to them, because what we're seeing playing out right now is the invention of a one-world government. And I have to tell you this, we're closer than ever, because you have Obama that's a shill for the global governance, which answers the question why the continuing agenda, the continuity of agenda between Bush, a globalist, and Obama, a globalist with strong Muslim ties and Marxist ties. That's the deal. And that's the strategy. And you're not going to hear this on the news. That's the strategy. That's how they're going to take this country down. And, of course, Joe's been doing so much research about the differing agendas and the operational plans, about bringing in UN troops, and people laugh and they say, oh, come on, that's just conspiracy nonsense. That's just conspiracy talk. Well, you know something? When are you, not you, our audience, but when are the people who say that going to, and I heard something today, or I read something today from a political forum. Well, lightning strikes happen. They happen a million times a year. So what if lightning hit the Vatican twice? It happens. Well, sure it does. But when you look at the entire picture, then I believe you can see where we're headed. But God, I believe, is fighting this one world governance, this change for a one world governance. And by the way, the Vatican, just like any other group, whenever man is involved in a group, there's going to be corruption. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, I'm the Boy Scouts. There's going to be corruption because man's involved. It doesn't matter what the group is. We're going to see corruption. So when we talk about the papacy and the what's going on in the Vatican, it has nothing to do with the faith. It has nothing to do with Christianity. It has everything to do with the actions of man.
Yeah, and you are right. And for our listeners out there, chat is working now. I got the page to load. So if you guys who are listening live want to enter in chat, refresh, or log in, do whatever it is that you guys do, and there we go. All right.
I want to thank you, by the way, Joe, for allowing me that time to just kind of blow off some steam. I've been kind of holding back, and I just think it's important while we're looking at things. You know, it's so important to look at the bigger picture.
Yeah. And I'm going to play this audio clip real quick here. California police boss Ken James said this, and we'll go from here.
Yeah, listen to this.
One issue that always boggles my mind is that the idea that a gun is a defensive weapon. That is a myth. A gun is not a defensive weapon. A gun is an offensive weapon used to intimidate and used to show power. Police officers do not carry a gun as a defensive weapon to defend themselves or their other officers. They carry a gun to be able to do their job in a safe and effective manner and face any oppositions that we may come upon. If it was a defensive measure, why did we lose 55 officers nationwide last year to gun violence? And unfortunately, in just the 2 months of this year so far, we've lost 2 officers to gun violence in the state of California alone. We deal with gun violence on a daily basis. We are asking and have been asking for reasonable regulations, not that are going to impact the legal gun owner. We're asking for reasonable regulations that will help us keep our communities and our officers safe. Thank you.
Yeah, reasonable measures. And let me tell you what Washington State is doing. Washington State bill would make almost all gun owners criminals. Washington State Senators Ed Murray and a few others have introduced new gun control legislation that goes far above and beyond what anyone would consider a simple ban. The bill, SB 5737, proposes banning the sale of assault weapons, quote unquote. According to the legislation, an assault weapon is any semi-automatic pistol, pump-action rifle, or shotgun that can accept a detachable magazine with the capacity to accept more than 10 rounds. Any magazine that accepts over 10 rounds itself will also be banned. Also included in the definition is any rifle or shotgun with a pistol grip, a stock of any kind, a muzzle brake or muzzle compensator. The bill also prohibits the manufacturing, possessing, purchasing, selling, or transferring of any assault rifle, assault weapons, conversion kits. Also, in similar news, Minnesota. Democrats pushing gun confiscation similar to Missouri's. Now, what did Missouri put out? And I'll post these links in the chat room. Missouri Democrats introduced legislation to confiscate firearms, giving gun owners 90 days to turn in their weapons. You heard me right. Turn in their weapons. Missouri Democrats introduced an anti-gun bill, which would turn law-abiding firearm owners into criminals. They will have 90 days to turn in their guns if the legislation is passed. Dana Loschek Radio reported on the new legislation being pushed by Missouri Democrats. Any person who, prior to the effective date of this law, was legally in possession of an assault weapon or large capacity magazine shall have 90 days from such effective date to do any of the following without being subject to prosecution. Any person who, prior to the effective date, shall have 90 days to remove the assault weapon or large capacity magazine from the state of Missouri. 2, render it permanently inoperable. 3, surrender assault weapons or large capacity magazine to the appropriate law enforcement agency for destruction, subject to the specific agency regulations. And it goes on to say 5, unlawful manufacturing, importing, possession, purchase, sale, or transfer of any assault weapon or large capacity magazine is a Class C felony. So Missouri pushing this. Now also Minnesota is pushing this. With basically the same parameters around the law, such as rendering the weapon inoperable, surrendering it to law enforcement. Also, there is an interesting part in the so you have Missouri, Minnesota, and Washington. Now, from Washington State, in this article, they say that gun owners would have to go through a policeman coming in their home once a year for a security check.
Let me get this straight. What you're saying is every home is subject to an official inspection?
Yeah, and I'm going to double check this just to make sure because I have to reread this article to find this spot. But yes, they will allow police officers will come in the home for a safety search. Let me double check and do a search.
In the world do they think that they can pull this off? Okay, folks, and here is the issue. You've got to wonder what is taking place with the states. There has to be something, and I'm looking at this, asking the question legitimately. This is not a rhetorical question, I suppose. This is an honest question. You've got all of these states. Look at New York. Look at California. Now all of these other states coming in, and they're banning firearms at a certain level. They are actually infringing on the our Second Amendment rights. Aside from the redress through the court system, which may or may not work, although people can cite Heller, the case of Heller, the Supreme Court case, all day long, the composition of the Supreme Court, once that changes, folks, remember the Pelican brief? Think about that in conjunction with what we're talking about right now. But what happens if we have no redress through the court system, through the Supreme Court, through the federal courts? And the federal courts are stacked by people who are anti-gun, pro-gun ban. So what is going to take place? My question is, are there going to be any political solutions left? And if not, what's going to happen? If the political solutions are going to take it away, you know, look, throughout history, citizen disarmament leads to one of two inevitable outcomes: government tyranny and genocide, or revolution and civil war.
All right.
There's no other. That's it. There's no other possibility. Why aren't my question to you, Joe, is why aren't we seeing this on the news? I mean, we're seeing
obviously
this headline.
We know why, because they don't want the. I mean, we're not seeing it on our news, and I don't have national news to watch. But you know, we wouldn't see this on our news until they wanted to enforce something here. And we're up against a break, but let me read this paragraph. In order to continue to possess a so-called assault weapon that was owned before the assumed passing of the legislation, the person must safely and securely store the assault weapon and allow the sheriff of the county to, no more than once a year, conduct an inspection to ensure compliance despite some apparent civil liberty implications related to the Fourth Amendment. Not to mention the manpower, time, and money that would be needed to search tens of thousands of Washington state homes. It could prove to be very difficult and possibly divert much-needed manpower from conducting actual police duties, like revenue generating through tickets.
Hold on a second. I've got the answer to that question. I've got the answer to the question. I've got it. I'll tell you exactly how this is going to go down after the break.
All right. Sounds good. We will go to break now. When we come back, we'll hit more news and take your phone calls. As I say, people are already lined up and on hold, and we will get to those calls. Folks, the chat room is now open. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio, for getting that fixed for us. And you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on this Friday, February 15th, 2013. DA 2000, DA 14, passed us. Did not make impact, but there were a few meteor impacts. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman & Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth Squad specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
Hold on to your seat. The Hagman & Hagman flight is now taking off. Doug and Joe Hagman have cleared the runway of TSA agents, jihadists, political crackpots, and global elitists. Now get ready for some real news. Here they are, Doug and Joe Hagman.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Hagman and Hagman Report this Friday, February 15th, 2013. Back now with some news. My dad's just coming back on now as he had some...
take care of some personal business. How's that?
Yeah, took a short nap during the break.
Yeah.
I wanted to jump right in here.
Can I answer that question, though?
About the enforcement of letting the sheriff's deputies come in your house once a year to inspect your house to make sure your assault weapons are safely locked, stored away as they should be.
Right. And this was answered, once again, these are not my words. I mean, I could not come up with such great information than this. Okay, first of all, I was reminded, and I had forgotten about this. Think about the abortion pre Roe v. Wade. The states individually had they made their own laws regarding abortion. So, if you lived in one state that approved of abortion, fine. If you didn't, you could move or be a criminal by getting it in your own state or cross into another state to get an abortion. That's how it used to work. But with so that's the answer, by the way, between the states and the federal laws. But with respect to Washington State, for example, like Joe, you were talking just moments ago about a sheriff having to go in to the homes to do a safety inspection, if you will, right? That's in Washington State?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I was reminded by my intelligence contact, this is the same crowd that had espresso machine inspections. The same people. And think about this logic. Because Washington, Seattle, you know, that whole Spokane, that whole area where the it seemed like the whole industry of the Starbucks crowd developed. Well, the state passed a law that they would have inspections of the mechanics the broilers or boiler things for espresso machines. Well, they passed a law that said once a year, the overseers of these machines would have to come in and perform an inspection. Well, okay, it passed. But here was the rub, the big rub. After it passed, it was determined by the agency overseeing these coffee machine inspections, that, well, look, because of the expense, the time involved, because to ensure safety, the safety of people, the workers, the fee was passed on to the owners of, well, the business owners, the coffee shop owners, the owners of the espresso machines. And the fee was oppressive. And everyone was, I mean, there was a huge dust up because they had to pay, or they paid, you know, $1,000 a year to have somebody come in and look and certify that their espresso machine wasn't going to blow up and take out, you know, a worker or two or a customer, which was a ridiculous at its face anyway. But there was that compliance, and who paid for that but the very people who owned the machines? Well, in this case, who's going to pay for this? The gun owners, or via tax, everybody, for a safer Washington. So that leaves you with either acquiescing to this or being a criminal. Oh, and if you don't like it, by the way, you can move to another state. Well, what's this whole process doing? It's a process of dividing and conquering. Now, perhaps I didn't explain that as eloquently as maybe my source explained to me, but I think you folks get the idea. In addition to that, I'm sure this regime has their plans when they give out money to the local police forces.
Your audio's all messed up.
How bad?
It's all scrambled.
Scrambled?
Yep.
Oh, boy. Okay, so go ahead and let me see what's going on here. And
you mute yourself.
I will do that.
Or fix your voice.
I'll stop talking like it's a little duck here. And, hold on. Just go ahead and take it, and I'll join you in a bit.
Okay. Yeah, what they are doing is setting up really to their whole command and control system to be able to come in your house without warrants for any reason. This is not just going to be for Washington State. This will be nationwide. And I'm reminded as I was doing some research before the show, and hopefully on our reader page on the website where we're posting documents, important government documents, I will post something on this later. But this ties in with the UN Agenda 21, the Codex Alimentarius food plan, and also the internment and resettlement operations document. And hopefully we can be able to tie all these together. We will be able to tie all these together. But it is very scary times we live in. Also, for those joining us late, there was a meteor crash in Russia, injuring over 1,100 people and billions of dollars in damage, they say. Also, there was a meteor crash in Cuba. Meteor crashes in Cuba day after Russia fireball. And it says apparently another potential meteor crash may have happened in Cuba today, related or not. The foreign country language news site says, in a recent report released this morning by Rodas, town in the province of Senefugis, witnesses described a very bright light that has come to a large size comparable to that of a bus before exploding in the sky. And it says, meanwhile, in Russia, it was like 10 suns shined. It was very unexpected as all the windows in the house were broken out. There was panic within the community for the first hour, but people started to calm down. There are videos of this meteor on YouTube. You can find videos of the meteor from a car dash cam, and you can find videos from somebody in a city who had their windows blown out while they were videotaping it. Very strange activity, and it speaks to the signs of the times we're in. When you look at all that has happened in the past 7 days, the Pope announcing his resignation, we have Obama saying he's going to Israel, we have the asteroid coming historically close, more so than any asteroid in recorded history, passed by us today, and all these things are taking place, and meteors crashing down onto Earth, destroying lots of things, obviously, the billion-dollar damage in more than one place. Also, this article today, let me play this audio first. This is Rand Paul talking about the government should never be able to decide if somebody gets to live or die. And this ties into the article I'm going to read right after this clip.
Since just on, we've got some confirmations coming up. We have the Lew confirmation for Treasury Secretary, Hagel for Defense, as well as Brennan for the CIA. Are you going to vote against any of those men?
I'm most concerned about Brennan, and I'm going to demand answers this week. Senator Wyden asked, can they do drone strikes in the United States? And Brennan went on for 5 minutes talking about optimizing transparency and never answered the question. Until I get an answer whether or not you can kill an American citizen in America, that's what Wyden asked. Can you kill an American in America with only the president's word? And he never answered the question. So I'm going to demand an answer to that question. But I also don't think, I think it's very unseemly that a politician gets to decide the death of an American citizen. They should answer about the 16-year-old boy, Milwaukee's son, who was killed, not as collateral damage, but in a separate strike. They've never answered that.
Right.
I think you should be tried for treason. If you're an American citizen, you go overseas and you take up arms, I'm probably for executing you, but I would want to hear the evidence. I would want to have a judge and a jury, It can be fairly swift, but there needs to be a trial for treason. The president, a politician, Republican or Democrat, should never get to decide someone's death by flipping through some flashcards and saying, you want to kill him? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, okay. Let's go ahead and kill him.
All right. So we'll put that as a question mark for John Brennan at the CIA, and yes for the other two.
Okay. Try not to... There you go.
I haven't decided, right. Really. Okay. Hagel's really struggling, and...
Okay, there was Rand Paul saying... The president, Republican or Democrat, should never get to decide someone's death. Well, today, FAA takes major step in expanding drone use in America. President Barack Obama has approved legislation that is expected to immediately accelerate the use of domestic drone surveillance with drones in the United States. On Thursday, President Obama signed the FAA Modernization and Reform Act of 2012, a bill that the Federal Aviation Administration and Anne-Marie Ternay describes as containing requirements for integrating unmanned aircraft systems and vehicles such as drones into the national airspace starting immediately, as if these things are not already flying through our skies and have been. With the president's approval this week, the FAA has already begun soliciting proposals from cities across the country that are interested in becoming one of six soon-to-be-established test sites where drones and UAVs will be sent into the sky as America takes the next step towards accepting the latest generation of aircraft. The FAA says that the locations in over 30 states have already showed interest in the program. Soon the agency will be tasked with picking up a mere half dozen locations so that drones can be formally introduced into the official U.S. airspace and not just strips of sky above designated areas. Should the FAA stay on schedule, drones are likely to be start flying regularly in the U.S. by late 2015, and as many as 30,000 non-military UAVs are expected to be in the sky by the end of the decade. First, however, the FAA drone builders and pilots will have to pick test sites to work out the kinks of the controversial aircraft. This is from an article from RT I'll post in the chat room, but let me tell you something. They have already been flying multiple drones across the United States, as the EPA years ago admitted they were using drones to spy on farmers. There's that case in North Dakota where they used a drone to pass along information to a SWAT team that was used to get into a house of a family member of preppers that did not want to let the police in their house. They LAPD talked about using a drone or would not comment on the use of a drone to locate Christopher Dorner.
Can you hear me now? Is it better?
Yep.
All right. Thanks. I don't know what that was all about, but I just switched some things around here. Oh, let me throw some music in here. Sorry about that. That was me. I had taken off some audio, and it seemed to be hogging the resources. But anyway, look, folks, they've got the drones. They're using the drones all across America, and it's just a matter of time before we see a drone strike in this country. This is what they're prepping us for. This is what we're going to be seeing. I don't know if it's going to happen next week. It could have happened with the situation in California, but we're going to be seeing this. And their explanation is going to be we saved the city. We saved you from certain death and destruction by using this drone, and all you're going to have are minute pieces of nothing surrounded by police tape to avoid the area so no one can see what exactly blew up or what they blew up, and that's how they're going to introduce to you the use of armed drones in the United States. And I was talking with I'm going to leave that for another program, but just suffice it to say, too, there is a level of intimidation being used with drones and people. And, you know, when I first heard that, I thought, man, that's really crazy talk. I mean, why would somebody use a surveillance drone or any other asset of the military or DHS or whatever to intimidate? But upon closer and more extensive investigation, I found that this person was not only the target, was not only a target, or was not only the target, but others have been targets of drones too, for intimidation. And as we look at different things, whether it be the odd and interesting deaths of the various people we've seen, the unexplained deaths of people, isn't it convenient, by the way? Don't you think it's convenient that we've seen a number of deaths that remain, well, they could be coincidences, but are they? How many times should we go through this, or must we go through this? Chris Kyle, John Novesky, Keith Ratliff, Aaron Schwartz, all of these people, the Navy SEALs. Are we not looking at a purge of dissenters, of those who would dissent, their dissent against the Obama agenda? And if that's the case, who's making these decisions? Well, one person, and I have to go back to this one person, who's creating this Star Chamber list is John Brennan. So all of this, and I'm not saying that, for example, I'm not saying all of these deaths were directly related to what am I screwing up again?
Yeah, what's it sound like?
Static?
It sounds staticky. It sounds distorted.
Okay. To you or to everyone?
I think to everyone.
Right.
Yep, digitized.
Digitized?
Yeah, kind of like what we heard last night, but it didn't come over on the radio.
Okay. I mean, nothing like live radio. Does this sound
worse.
All right. Maybe I should just sit on your lap.
Maybe it's your voice. Maybe you gotta, I don't know, change your voice. Maybe it's your breath infecting the microphone. I don't know.
Well, it could well be. I don't know.
No.
We'll go ahead and take it. Because, I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to try to reconnect. Use my connection to reconnect. Go ahead and continue with the news, because you've got so many things. And by the way, folks, live radio, it's just great. You just never know.
You're just gone. I can't even understand you from here. All right. Sorry about that, folks. I don't know what the issue is with my dad's audio, but he will get that fixed and be back up with us shortly. We're going to take some calls starting at the half hour mark in just a few minutes, 661-244-9839. I wanted to talk about this. Money runs low for health insurance in state high risk pools. Tens of thousands of Americans who cannot get health insurance because of pre-existing medical problems will be blocked from a program designed to help them because funding is running low. The Obama administration officials said Friday that the state-based high-risk pools set up under the health care law will be closed to new applicants as soon as Saturday and no later than March 2nd, depending on the state. Now, remember in Obamacare when he said they are going to be setting up a system where they would not discriminate against people who had pre-existing conditions? Well, they stressed that coverage for about 100,000 people who are now enrolled in the high-risk pools will not be affected, but we're being very careful stewards of the money that has been appointed to us, and we wanted to balance our desire to maximize the number of people who can gain from this program while making sure that people who are in the program have coverage, said Gray Cohen, Director of the Department of Health and Human Services, Center for Consumer Information and Insurance Oversight. The program, which was launched in the summer of 2010, was always intended as a temporary bridge for the uninsured, but it was supposed to last until 2014. At that point, the healthcare law will bar insurers from rejecting or otherwise discriminating against people who are already sick, enabling such people to buy plans through the private market. From the start, analysis questioned whether the $5 billion that Congress appointed for the pre-existing condition insurance plan, as the program is called, was sufficient. initial fears that as many as 375,000 sick people would swamp the pools and bankrupt them by 2012. And that did not pan out. This largely because even though the pools must charge premiums comparable to those for healthy people, the plans sold through them are often expensive. But it's also because the pools are open only to people who have gone without insurance for at least 6 months. The result is that while only 135,000 people have gotten coverage at some point, they're proving far more costly to insure than predicted. Well, we did tell you that. Many people who are uninsured go untreated, exacerbating their medical problems. When they finally do get coverage through a high-risk pool, they are in immediate need of expensive care. But speaking to the point of death panels, speaking to the point of this Obamacare solution, this government nationwide mandatory solution for healthcare, was supposed to be aimed at the people who were discriminated against for pre-existing conditions. It was supposed to be aimed at helping people with low to moderate incomes attain health insurance when they did not have it at cheaper cost. It is proven to do just the opposite. It is falling short of all expectations. Last year, there was a report that 83% of doctors considered quitting under the new Obamacare laws and provisions. They now have a mandatory program, which means if you don't have health insurance privately, you have to get Obama's insurance. And if you don't get the insurance from the Obama administration, you have to pay a fine for not doing your fair share. In the words of Debbie Schlossel, or what's her name, Wasserman Schultz. It is absolutely crazy. So now we have people with pre-existing conditions that are seeking health care, and there's not enough money. What a surprise. What a surprise. Is it the case that there's not enough money, or is the case that they just don't want to spend the money when they can spend it somewhere else or put it in someone else's pocket to make sure that they are, ready to pass their legislation, whether it's politicians or the lobbyists. All this money that's being printed by the Federal Reserve, all this debt that's been piled onto our national debt by Obama and Obamacare and all of his expansion of policies and new policies, all the money that's been allocated to different – I mean, look at the solar industry. We've hit on this lots of times. The solar industry was given basically trillions of dollars through – secret bailouts, Treasury, Federal Reserve secret loans. There was a $16 trillion secret loan the Federal Reserve gave out aside from the bailout money. Where'd all this money go? Well, in the solar companies' cases, they all went bankrupt, and all the money was pocketed by the executives, and the equipment was, and this is all taxpayer money. I mean, this is just a system of waste. And we are seeing it with the healthcare system. It's going to get worse and worse, and things will never get better in this country financially, economically, and everything the government touches turns to garbage pretty much. And now that they've taken over the healthcare system, they're taking over the internet now. They're taking over the transportation systems. They're taking over everything. So we can expect this in just about every part of our lives. This also came across my newswire today. The top 10 hardest hit states for crop damage. The searing U.S. drought of 2012 devastated the nation's corn crops, pushing yields down in some states to their lowest levels in 30 years. According to a recently released numbers from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Missouri, Illinois, and Indiana were among the hardest hit Corn Belt states, with yields at 28, 26, and 22-year lows, respectively. To put the severity and impact of the 2012 drought in context, the top 10 hardest-hit states for crop damage are illustrated in an interactive graphic in this article, with several states seeing their lowest corn crops in more than 20 years. Now, this is big news. As we know, corn is not just used for food, and the corn produced in the Corn Belt of America is not just used for America. We are seeing the corn being used for ethanol. We are seeing it being turned into fuel, and they want to use not only 10% ethanol now, but 15% ethanol. Where to the point where car manufacturers say, you know what, that is too dangerous. It ruins the engines. We won't put warranties on cars that use E15, the new gasoline, E15. But that's not going to stop the United States government from releasing it. We're going to go to the phone calls. My father's still working on getting his audio hooked back up. I'm going to thank you for holding. We're going to go to area code 703 first. And the number to call in is 661-244-9839. 703, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hello. I'm on the air.
Yes, you are live.
Yeah. I noticed something when the Pope decided to announce that he's stepping down. I noticed that in the sky, it was a new moon, and below the new moon was Mercury, and below Mercury was Mars. So if you look at the order, it's a new, you know, Mercury is the messenger, you know, the message, like an angel is a messenger. And then below that, Mars would be the god of war. So you have a guy stepping down with all this occult stuff, this Petrus Romanus stuff that we all know about, you know, stepping down, and there's a message in the sky that day is a new message, war. And so when you combine, you know, that with all the other signs going on, it's quite interesting that they would choose on that particular day of you know, the 11th with that lineup. And I wanted to do some more research on it, but I just thought I'd mention that. And, you know, I'm the guy who also called a while back about the Mark of the Beast and how this all plays together with the Mark of the Beast and how a revelation is playing out regarding buying, selling, and trading. And I was wondering if you guys, you know, because you seem not to get what I was trying to relay regarding the Mark of the Beast. And you know, the Mark of the Beast ties to the global nature of financing and not being able to buy, sell, and trade. And it also ties into worship, you know, and, you know, all of this Apollyon rising, you know, stuff that the Masons are telling you and what the Pope is telling you, you know, it fits in with the Mark of the Beast. And I noticed that the Sabbath day and the six-day creation and the 7,000 or the 6,000 years that just ended on December 21st all speak to the same point of order. You know, for instance, today is the Sabbath day. The sun, you know, if you're a Christian or if, you know, you're a Jew like Christ, you would observe the Sabbath day at the setting of the sun on Friday. And the key point of order of the Sabbath day is not buying, selling, or trading on the Sabbath. Right, you wouldn't use money, right? And obviously on the money, we have the image of our God, which would be the apotheosis of George Washington depicted inside the womb of Isis or whatnot there in the Capitol Dome, the god of Cirrus, Lucifer, you know, defined in the pyramids and all that other good stuff. So you can see that, you know, Christ, he didn't buy, sell, or trade from the setting of the sun on Friday to the setting of the sun on Saturday. And he didn't provide labor unto the beast. So you're sealed in agreement with the name of Christ, the new name, and you're not buying, selling, or trading on the Sabbath day, which is an image of being sealed throughout the not only the week but the 6,000 years, and then the rest on the Sabbath after the time of tribulation, which if you look into the sky and you see new message war, and you look at all the signs and everything, obviously the tribulation is about to begin when they seal that peace in Israel. And of course you see the players that are going to do that, meaning the President of the United States will be the one who facilitates that. And I also noticed that the Heshemite king, King Hussein of Jordan, recently, after the election, said that if they don't make this peace deal while Obama's in, it'll never happen. So you've got this whole setup right in front of you, telling you that tribulation is about ready to get down. And in the Bible it says that, you know, if you accept the mark of the beast, right, it's tied to worship, and it's also tied to buying, selling, and trading in a global reality that would be the image of Babylon. We have that. So if you're thinking about everything, the key point of order relates to the Sabbath and not buying, selling, and trading. And you see all the players who are about ready to seal that false peace and the sudden destruction and the tribulation period afterwards, right now. And they're trying to get it done, obviously, while Obama's in office. And when Tom Horn wrote the book Apollyon Rising, he perfectly defined the occult reality of their timing. And we, of course, see all the timing happening now with the Pope that has just been fulfilled, as far as, you know, how St. Malachy talked about this last Pope that's about ready to send on stage. And, of course, they're making Vatican deals regarding Israel and Jerusalem being the key point of order. So, anyhow, I just thought I'd mention all that stuff, and that's what I really meant to really convey as far as the mark of the beast goes. And that's something that you'd have to personally, you know, consider when you're going to church, not on the Sabbath day, but on a Sunday or some other day. And even if you're going to church and you're not doing it when Christ did it, on the setting of the sun on Friday, you still can't be buying, selling, and trading with their currency, their debt note with the God on it that they trust. Right? You can't do it.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for your call and your input on this issue, as we will soon see what will happen in the next month as Obama visits Israel and the new Pope is selected and what comes about all of this. It should make for a very interesting month, next 30 days, and we will see how this unfolds. I want to thank you for your call. We're going to move on, and God bless you.
Oh, and pray for Gary Stearman. He's having some trouble there.
Gary Stearman?
Stearman, the guy on the Prophecy in the News.
Okay.
Prophecy in the News, he's sick.
Okay.
He's been ill for on and off here, and we know Tom Horn's house burned down, and now and before that J.R. Church died of cancer, and now Gary Stearman's kind of sick, so we need some prayers for him.
All right, we will do that. Gary Stearman, I'm unfamiliar with him, but I will check him out. And thanks for that.
I've seen the news. The guy I've seen the news.
Yeah, I know him. I know of him. I'm sorry. Can you hear me now, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, caller. Indeed, we will. Wow. Yeah. I did. Caller? What is his status at the moment?
Well, I watched the video of yesterday's broadcast. I haven't seen the one today, and he had a relapse, which is like the, third or fourth one, and so he started throwing up again. They can't figure out what's wrong with him, so we need to pray for him.
Yeah, indeed we will. I know that he had, he just recently, I think, had talked to Jerry Corsi. I'm just trying to think, because I had heard about his situation. I think it was through Jerry. I'm not sure, but indeed we'll be in prayer for him. Prophecyinthenews.com is him along with J.R. Church. Indeed, pray
yeah.
for them.
Yes.
And then caller, thank you. God bless you, my friend.
You too.
All right, folks. Hopefully, the audio of my audio is better. I was having a little difficult time. It sounded like your audio was a little bit muffled. But you know, all in all, I think, folks, and I want to thank everyone for their patience because I do think we have our audio program or audio situation fixed. The only thing that was a couple of glitches that were actually operator error. I think is what has been taking place, as well as you know some attacks. But the bulk of it was operator error, so I want to thank you for your patience. By the way, Sunday I will be on Israel National Radio.
What time?
Don't know. It should. Sorry, I don't know. It's actually a rebroadcast.
And don't forget, Sunday night, 8 to 11 Eastern, Nathan Leal will be joining us.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. Folks, if you go to Israel National Radio, if you just put that in the search engine, look up Tamar Yonah, Yonah. Her show, it's rebroadcast. You'll find it, and I don't have the time available, but it'll be on a couple of times on Sunday. We did an interview, quite a lively interview, actually, this past week. I think it was Monday or Tuesday, and she's a great lady. Israel National News, one of the largest radio stations in the Middle East. I think the interview lasted pretty close to an hour, I'm not sure. But we talked about Benghazi, we talked about Syria, we talked about Israel, we talked about a lot of things, so definitely catch that. And then Nathan Leal, as you said, Sunday.
Yeah, people in chat asked if you could post the URL to the Israel National Radio on your page.
Yeah, in fact, I'll contact, of course, it's their Sabbath. I'll contact, look for that this weekend.
Okay.
It'll be, if you go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, we'll post it. And I was talking to Steve Quayle this morning, too. He says, man, you got to redesign your page because people, you know, he was getting complaints about people not being able to navigate properly. Working on it, folks, just trying to get everything done at once as we're trying to populate, you know, where we have actually uploaded just a ton of documents to our servers. Now we're trying to get the documents linked to their descriptions so you can go. And like we said before, if MIAC report or whatever report, the PNAC thing, whatever archived the document or whatever comes out, you'll be able to click on that one link, the reading room or the reference room, whatever we're going to call it, and you'll be able to grab that PDF, download it, and we're doing the same thing for audios and videos as well. So just hold on, man. We're doing our best to get this up and running.
All right, we got tons of people on hold, and we're going to try and get through as many as we can through the rest of the show. Your take on what has happened this past week, from the Pope resigning to Obama announcing his trip to Israel to the meteor showers we're seeing. Whatever you want to talk about, the gun control issues, something we haven't talked about, you're welcome to jump on and talk about. We're going to Jason next. Jason, you're live on the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Doug and Joe, God bless both of your spirits tonight. How you doing?
Fantastic.
Very well. Thank you.
Praise God. Well, Doug, first of all, I want to say to you, you know, I can relate so much to what you've gone through with your doggy dying because, you know, my mom, you know, I was a late birth, so she had a dog named Edward. He was a Collie Shepherd dog, like Lassie. And when he passed away, it was before I was born, you know, the void that was in her heart because of it was just incredible. And, you know, she explained to me how much he meant to her. And because she didn't dream of having a child, to be honest with you, because she was, you know, older.
Right.
But I came along and, you know, but anyway, I just want to say God bless you, brother, because I can relate to that from what my mother told me about how much the death of her pet impacted her. So God bless you.
Well, thanks. And you know, I think people, look, you know,
nowhere near humans, but my goodness, they're like family. And isn't God wonderful to give us the to give us that relationship with animals like this? Mm-hmm. It's just a fabulous. I mean, people who say that this world is like an accident, a cosmic accident. Oh man, don't even start, because just to have that wonderful. Jason, you got a train going through your house there?
Oh, I'm sorry about that. It's yeah, we have a lot of people by me, Doug, in Scranton
that don't
have mufflers, so I'm sorry.
Oh no, that's all right. I didn't know if we were getting bombed or what the deal was. Of course, with all the audio situations today, I thought maybe it just might have been my headphones. But no, you know, it's just so we're no cosmic accident, and the animals, and what a great gift from God, you know.
Amen,
really.
Amen, brother. Amen. So, and all dogs go to heaven, Doug. I'm telling you that right now, it's true, because my mom had several dreams of Edward underneath a tree with her grandfather, who she loved very much, and they were happy and just playing around, you know, under the tree. So all dogs go to heaven. Trust me, brother.
All right, bud.
But that's not the reason I called tonight.
The
reason I called tonight is to basically, I really want people to understand that God, Yahweh, he said in Genesis that the sun, the moon, and the stars were put up there to give us understanding of the times and the seasons and where we're at. So, and Jesus also said in Matthew 24 that there shall be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars in the heavens of his coming. So now we have these meteors, these asteroids coming in, and it's incredible that, you know, since 1987, I mean, we haven't had basically any major meteors coming through. But now we have several and that are coming through and can come through in the future. So there's a big blowing of a trumpet at this point in several ways, that the time is at hand, and we are coming to a very pivotal point in history that we have to evangelize and get people on the ark. And the ark is the blood of Christ. It's here, guys. It's here. We are at the time, and we really have to repent of whatever sin is in our life as much as we can. We're going to fall. We're going to be doing things that we don't want to do, just like Paul said in his epistles. But if you are in Jesus, I am telling you right now, it doesn't matter when the trumpet blows. When it blows, you're going to behold him as he is. And what a glorious day that will be.
Right on, Jason. Right on. That's, you know, Jason, okay, let me ask you this. I mean, you've got your ear to the ground more than most people I know.
Thank you, Doug.
Okay. What do you make? So, and I mean this, what do you make of all of these signs that we're seeing here? I mean, do you see these as like some, like God kind of taking a 2x4 to the heads of the people that really aren't paying attention, saying, "Hey, look, I'm talking, pay attention." Is that what you're, because, or am I off?
No.
Because that's what I'm seeing.
You're 100% okay. Dead on, brother. It's the end time harvest that is coming. I don't know if you've heard, but Billy Graham is going to be soon kicking off an evangelistic tour. I mean, the man is 94. God almighty. I mean, but he's going to be, praise God, doing one final revival. And I don't know, Doug, I've always felt that when Billy Graham goes, that's going to be it. I feel that he is sort of like a modern-day Methuselah. His death shall bring. And we really are at the door. Jesus Christ he's like, okay, Father, you know, things are getting pretty bad down there. And his dad is going, yes, son, I understand it, and you're right. And it's coming soon. I'm going to give you the green light really soon, son. And he has a lot of patience, the most patience of any living soul that ever lived. And he's waiting for that one last number to tick. And from the Gentiles, the non-believers, the Father is waiting for that last number. And that's why all those that don't believe, that listen to your program, I pray in the name of Jesus that you just come to your knees in repentance and ask God if he's real. Because he's going to show you, we are at the precipice of God finally sending his Son to set up his kingdom. That is the everlasting kingdom that shall never die. And he wants every soul to come to the understanding that his Son died for you. It's incredible to understand that we have a creator God that didn't say, well, Adam and Eve messed up, so I'm just going to blow that creation away and I'm going to make something new someday. No, he didn't do that. He loved us so much, guys, that he chose to send his perfect creation, which is Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to die for every single sin that we ever created. And that includes everybody. It doesn't just include those that profess the name of Jesus Christ as their Savior. It includes every soul that was ever born. He's just waiting. He's waiting for you, non-believer, to come to that cross and repent and ask him, Jesus, did you really do that for me? Because he's going to answer.
Interesting. Okay.
That's it. Go ahead,
John. It's an interesting take on it, Jason. You answered the question, and I just want to say God bless you, man. We got to get to a bunch of calls, but thank you, man. I appreciate your take on the events of this week.
God bless you guys.
All right, buddy.
Your show's anointed, and I love everybody in chat. I love you guys, and Jesus, just come back. We're waiting for you. God bless you guys.
Brother. All right. And folks, that's the other thing, too. And Jason, thank you. Folks, we got to stick together in these times. I never in my life have I felt like we have we're members of an extended family than I do now. And I think that we have to just keep everyone, close and just maintain that spirit of closeness and of extended family.
All right. We're going to go back to the phones here. Area code 304, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hello, everyone.
Hello there.
All right, I got you.
Yes.
Okay, the all these events seem to culminate into a very exclusive and set of scriptures that have been on my mind for a few days. Number one, you guys had asked, what do you think all these events are culminating into? One set of scriptures that hits my mind is in Matthew 24:37, and it's relating back to the days of Noah. But here, that's not what captured my eye. Things are happening in stages. The Vatican, money problems, things of that nature. They're happening in stages. They're happening slowly. But if we relate that to the days of Noah, the rains didn't come suddenly. Do you guys know where I'm going with this?
Yep.
Yeah.
Keep going.
And it says the scripture on 38 says, For as in the days of Noah were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving into marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, that to me was very troubling because it means these guys did not know the flood was coming, even when it was raining. But right now, what we're seeing is raining. Multiple signs at different times, different months, but they all point to one direction. And as we all know, it just doesn't suddenly rain. You see clouds first. I'm sure they saw clouds, rain, and up sprinkles and then rain until it culminates into, something none of us want to see. But in fact, that's what it's leading up to. That's exactly what it looks like is happening.
Interesting.
Go ahead.
No. I'm glad you've got more than one point because
I was going to ask you where. I mean, I understand that we're in this rainstorm right now. That people, the majority of people, really can't see, or they don't recognize it for what it is. But I don't want to break your stride. Go on.
Well, I was going to say, having made that first point, if we go through and read prophecy, we understand that a lot of people were oblivious to so many things until the day came when the Lord said something very specific. He said, whosoever shall call upon me during this time, this is a very bad time, by the way, he will hear them. He will be there for them at the last moment, at that specific time. Now, this is before some of the bad stuff hits. But we are living in the days where we see a sign, then we see no sign. We see the world going in one direction, and then there's a time where we seem to doubt the information we put together. We see, you brought up a good point, we see the money failing, we see the system changing, but then we question ourselves and say, how is it changing, or is it in fact changing, or is it me? These are the reigns that I'm talking about of Noah. These are the times, just like when Noah lived in. And a lot of people are second-guessing themselves and telling it didn't happen, like the Pope. I think that got people's attention, and it's certainly causing them to be hungry for information, that which I noticed last night. But that is the first complete point. Doug, you brought out something very important, which is everything keeps leading you back to the money. And I'd like to say that the current system of money has to be diminished to eliminate existing power structures. Okay, when that takes place, the new system will be restructured. Its power will be restructured to those according to the system's creator. Does that make sense?
Yes, but explain that a little bit further. When you say the system's creator, what do you mean by that?
Okay, hear me out. How many people do you know that are rich or in power? They're not going to give up their money. They still hold power and influence. They're against the system that they see coming, right? How many people do you know like that? Okay, in order to get all the agendas across, the first thing they're going to have to do is get rid of the money. That's the one thing people can't control. People can't fight against that.
All right.
We can fight against weapons. We can fight against anything, but we cannot fight against the major control mechanism, which is money.
Okay.
All right.
So we're headed for, and I think you'll agree with me on this, we're headed for a one-world monetary system, a global, because the collapse is going to be so great that it's going to encompass the entire globe. America falls, the dollar falls, Europe falls. I mean, we're going to all be, there's not going to be any money. I mean, it's going to be virtually and practically and realistically wiped out. So, but they already have something in place, do they not? This one world currency. Okay. So who's behind all of this?
Okay, which leads me back to another issue, the final point I'm going to make tonight. We already know that in the scriptures it says that the rich man will weep and howl, throw your silver and gold into the street, which means it's meaningless.
Right.
And that surpasses a lot. How can silver and gold be meaningless? Well, that is the creator of the system. Because it seems to me, this is my opinion, like all your officials are disinterested with standard policy. It's as though they're just throwing things out there to get people's attention while they're working on something else. Something else is going on. No one can really tell me the interest level in the Obama, normal politicians, except for those who may be outside of the internal loop, are concerned about anything that's going on. To them, it looks like it's a game. There are too many smiles. There's no deep concern for what's going on.
Right.
Which leads me to the very last point. The very last point is this, and this is something that's been on my mind for a while. With the conversation last night, now we know biblical, some of us know biblical scripture, and we do know that at one point we're going to entertain a change. We know that at one point the mark of the beast will be instituted. How that's instituted, we're not clear, but hear me out on this. if you had a choice to be financially secure, to be well fed, to have life as normal, even better than normal, versus you being hungry, you're suffering, you have lack. Now, people are going through this already. They have lack. What are they crying out for right now? Solutions, right?
Right.
They're crying out for solutions. This tells me this, that if the mark were to be posed today, many, many of us would not make it because we would choose the comfort and what we know over having faith and waiting. Faith, by the way, goes with waiting. We'll have to endure. But who right now is ready to endure the discomfort that they see from a money-stricken country or the good life that we had in the past that we're trying to cling to, which makes one check their motives? What is our motive? To have that back? To have back what we had a long time ago, right? Or to walk forward in faith, trusting in our Creator, our Christ, and going forth with His agenda, taking notes along the way. Because the fact is you have many crying out for a past that will never come back again. This is resulting in anger. This is causing all sorts of negative emotions that I guarantee you those in power are looking for, as though they want to incite and inflict mental anguish to cause you to react, to quicken things, if you will.
Okay. But that still doesn't... Maybe let me address this another way. How do you see this playing out? How do you see this playing out specifically?
First of all, I see it subtly. I see the money collapsing. There's no other way I can explain it, but money will be sifted out of people's hands. And before they know it's gone, listen, you could be going to the mall one day, have your debit cards and everything, and your debit card to work. You could wake up the next day and they'll say, money has depleted, therefore we have to make several changes.
Right.
They're okay. Going to hit at the heart of every human being, which is survivability. Because when money starts going, the first thing we'll start thinking about is, how can I survive? That's what's going to happen. That's the first thing you're going to look for. Then the power structures will start to shift.
Okay. But I'm sensing, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sensing this, and perhaps you might have even outright stated it, I'm sensing this idea that what you're saying is once this does happen, even if it happens incrementally, people are going to, because we are in such a demand it now type of mode of a society, delayed gratification is something of the past, that people are going to accept the mark, which will give them the normalcy that they, or the appearance of normalcy that they once had. Is that a fair assessment of what you're saying?
Once you're stuck out in the middle of, look at a homeless person. Once they're homeless, if someone came up to them and offered them, hey, if you sign these papers, right, saying that you can receive such and such per month, does that sound familiar? We'll go ahead and supply these. So all you have to do is sign these papers and comply with these directives. Are people doing that already?
Well, of course, but not for the sake of their souls, on a wholesale level.
And you just brought up the very final issue that we're all going to face. Number one, it's not going to happen suddenly. The money has already been failing. All of us, we know this. The money has gone down. Are we that? Are people really that concerned, or are they going on with their daily lives? They're going on with their daily lives. They're aware of it, right? But nothing is so serious until it strikes home. And when you look at your children and they're hungry, or a small baby and it's hungry, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to trust in a Christ that you cannot see yet? Or are you going to look across the street and see these guys living well simply because they agreed to something? What do you think people are going to do? Now, this is a question we all need to pose. This is a very realistic question. What are we going to do? Because a lot of people are wearing the mark on the sleeve already. They will compromise. They'll get in a public discussion and compromise their own faith to suit that discussion, just to fit in and be a part of it. we compromise in many ways.
Interesting. Interesting point of view, caller.
We're up against the break.
Top of the hour break, which we're a little bit late for, and we apologize to the AM stations and FM. Sorry about that. We are going to reset the clock here. And Joe?
Yeah, I want to thank you for your call and the insight you shared. And we do have to draw closer to the Lord, and we do have to have more faith. Regardless of the situation, our faith needs to be as the rock, our foundation. It cannot waver. And in those moments where you're talking about where our souls are on the line, the wavering of faith will cost you your soul.
Absolutely. And thank you, caller. God bless you for your call.
Have a good night. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report this Friday, February 15th.
And you sounded so uncertain when you said that, my friend.
It was all the F's, Friday, February. We'll be right back after these short messages, taking your phone calls. We got a bunch of people on hold. 661-244-9839. We're going to try to get through every single one of them on the other side. We'll be right back.
Folks, I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, a great sponsor, as a matter of fact, Grandland Firearms of British Columbia. If you're in British Columbia, and I know some of you who are, stop in and see him, especially if you're near Campbell River, British Columbia in Canada, the salmon capital of the world. Folks, Grandland Firearms are located right across from the movie gallery up there. Just a beautiful part of the country. How great would it be to look out out of your second floor or second story window and see the mountains, or even stand on the ground and see the mountains of British Columbia. But that's what that area is like. I've got to tell you, it's just wonderful country. And of course, Carl and his wife, they own Grandland Firearms of British Columbia. That it's a small business. Support them. They've got this beautiful, beautiful stock. I mean, when I say beautiful, compared to what we're seeing here today, firearms, a gun list, the availability and prices are listed on their website. They've got all sorts of hunting equipment, survival gear. Just visit GrandlandFirearms.com to take a look at what they've got. Some of the best prices I've ever seen for firearms. If you're a hunter, sportsman, or even for defense purposes, look them up. And of course, any survival gear that you need. And one of the things that I like best, folks, Treed by the River. It's a book written by Carl Grandland. This man is a gifted writer. I've got to tell you some of the stories in this book. Just fabulous. If you're into hunting the outdoors, stories like that, grab yourself a copy of Treed Beyond the River, Cougar Hunting on Vancouver Island. It's the second edition. It's available with new stories and more pictures. Just go to their website. And, of course, follow the links to that book. And, of course, check out their list of products and tell them Doug and Joe Hagman sent you. If you can't stop in person, visit them on the Internet at GrandlandFirearms.com.
Doug Hagman, one guy that doesn't need a bullhorn to get your attention.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
Can't handle the truth!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour of this Friday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're going to go right back to the phones as we have many people on hold who've been waiting a long time. We're going to go to area code 303. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
In the name of Jesus Christ, bless the watchman.
God bless you, my friend. What's on your mind?
Just have something to say real fast. I will praise you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. I will bless you every day. I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is worthy of my praise. His greatness is beyond discovery.
Wow.
Just praise Jesus.
Just, you know what, in these times, what else can we do? And I think it's wonderful. God bless you, my friend. Thank you very much for sharing that, and have a blessed weekend.
I wanted to mention that I passed on Grandma to my brother, and he actually spoke to Mr. Grandma today. They had a great conversation.
Oh, good. Okay.
Website. I definitely recommend everyone here in the States even to check it out.
I got to tell you, I asked about, do you send stuff across state lines or across international, Canada, the United States? And they said, sure, it's a little iffy, but, certainly. So.
What you actually want to do is go to a dealer or any kind of shop and talk to them and see, will you take the firearms? They said, no problem. So he went ahead and talked to Mr. Granlund. He said the only thing possibly is an ATF holdup. But, again, I called them and squared that out. There should be no severe hang-ups.
Thank you. Thank you for that information. Because we like to hear feedback like that. And those people in the States who are looking for what they have, and they've got a lot, would like to know that. So we really appreciate that information. God bless you, sir. Thank you very much for that.
God bless you guys. In the
All
name
right.
of Jesus Christ.
In the name
Thank
of
you very much.
All right. That's good to know, Joe.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, and they're fabulous people. The Granlunds are fabulous people. They're down to earth. They're hardworking people, soul of the earth people. Great people. They support our radio broadcast, and we just think the world of them. I'll tell you that. So, all right.
Yeah, we're gonna go to area code 985 next, but before we do that, just one quick verse here, Luke 15:7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Ponder that for a few. Area code 985, we're going to you. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hello.
Yeah, it's you. How you doing this evening?
Hi. How are you, Doug and Joe?
Good.
I want to start off by saying my husband and I love your program. We listen to it almost every night, along with Steve Quayle and a caller that called in a little while ago about prophecy in the news. We also listen to Gary Stearman, and he's been sick for over a month, coming on and off on the show, and he has some kind of viral sickness or something, so please be lifting him up, like that other caller said.
Yes.
He's lost over 20 pounds.
I'm sorry, how much did he lose?
Over 20 pounds he's lost already.
Man. Yeah. In fact, I should have told Joe this. Both Mr. Church and Mr. Stearman, and of course Steve Quayle and Tom Horn, it's almost like it's this extended family of Watchmen, but they've got a prophecy summit coming up. But yes, I it was my understanding that he was sick. I didn't realize though that he was as sick as that. I thought it was a Greg Evenson situation. Well, even Greg was pretty sick, but I didn't realize that he had lost 20 pounds. My goodness. He'll be in our prayers.
Right. The last couple of weeks, he's been trying to come back on the show. He'll be on the show one day, 2 days, and then he'll be out again. So just keep him lifted up in prayer, everyone's prayers. And everyone's calls tonight, they've been so wonderful, the callers that have called in.
Sure.
The thing I wanted to call in about and talk about was the show yesterday with Tom, Steve, and Chris about the Pope stepping down. Well, are you guys familiar with the International Tribunal into Crimes of Church and State?
No.
I've heard of that.
Okay,
no.
There's a Reverend Kevin Annette, who is the secretary of the International Tribunal into Crimes of Church and State. And I found out Monday that the Pope stepped down, I had read an article last year sometime about the Pope saying that he was sick and that he was considering stepping down. But when I heard it Monday, I about fell out of my chair. I mean, I get excited about Bible prophecy stuff. But anyway, I was on the Internet looking for other articles about it and all that. And Wednesday, there was an article posted on this. It's ITCCS.org.
Right.
And, okay, there was an article posted Wednesday about Pope Benedict. It says, Pope Benedict resigned to avoid arrest and seizure of church wealth by Easter. Now, when you guys were talking yesterday about Rome being destroyed and that the Vatican has their eyes on Jerusalem and the new temple and all that stuff going on, well, I tried to call you guys yesterday, but I remembered that you don't take calls until Friday, and I was on the line waiting because I wanted to bring this information up. But also, this Kevin Annette, he posted an open letter on February 14th, yesterday, to President Napolitano. And this letter says, Dear President Napolitano, on behalf of our tribunal and people of conscience everywhere and of the millions of victims of church abuse, I am making an appeal to you regarding your upcoming meeting with Joseph Ratzinger, who will retire soon as Pope Benedict, the Pontiff of the Church of Rome. Our understanding is that in the wake of pressure to have him resign his office because of his proven complicity in concealing child trafficking in his church and other crimes against humanity, Joseph Ratzinger is seeking the assistance of the Italian government in securing protection and immunity from legal prosecution. Well, you can go on the website. Anybody can go on the website so that I can let other callers get on the line, because I also want to mention one more thing. But it's ITCCS.org is that website.
Correct.
And then down below this letter, it says, Pope Benedict resigned to avoid arrest, seizure of church wealth by Easter. This is a diplomatic note was issued to the Vatican just prior to his resignation, and this was supposed to be issued today, well, February 15th. And this says, the historically unprecedented resignation of Joseph Ratzinger as Pope this week was compelled by an upcoming action by a European government to issue an arrest warrant against Ratzinger and a public lien against Vatican property and assets by Easter. Again, you can go on to read this, but this one particular number I found pretty interesting, because it also says here that it is our further decision to proceed as well with the indictment and arrest of Joseph Ratzinger's successor as Pope on the same charges, and to enforce the commercial lien and Easter reclamation campaign against the Roman Catholic Church as planned. They want to seize the Vatican property. They want to arrest both Pope Benedict and the successor to the throne. And this Bertone guy, I don't know his first name, but isn't he in charge right now, or won't he be the one in charge between the Pope stepping down and the time that's in between there for the new Pope to
Cardinal Bertone, I believe is going to be, I don't know this for a fact, but it's my understanding, because I asked this question as well, you know, who, for example, who is in charge of the Vatican? And it's my understanding that there's like a caretaker, if you will, from the time there is no pope until the next pope is elected, and that would fall to, I would say, the vicar of the Vatican. That's perhaps not the correct term, but as I understand it, it does fall to Cardinal Bertone.
Right. Well, at the very end of this, it says, we call upon all citizens and governments to assist our efforts to legally and directly disestablish the Vatican, Inc., and arrest its chief officers and clergy who are complicit in crimes against humanity and the ongoing criminal conspiracy to aid and protect child torture and trafficking. And this is supposed to take place on Easter Sunday, on March 31st, 2013.
Well,
I feel that pretty odd, and it makes me wonder if they're trying to disestablish the Vatican and their eyes are set on Jerusalem and all the things that are taking place today in our day, it's just amazing how it's all coming together. And I'm just wondering if possibly this might have something to do with the Vatican being disestablished, seizing their property, and they end up over in Jerusalem.
It's interesting. You know, I did not know about this until you brought it up, but I do know that their headquarters is in London, England. Their mandate is to bring those to trial, those persons to trial who are responsible for exploiting, basically, trafficking in children, and to stop these and other criminal actions by the church and state. That's their mandate. That's their agenda. It's interesting. I don't know who is behind this. This ITCCS, do you?
Well, his name is, it says here, an open letter and appeal to Giorgio Napolitano, President of the Republic of Italy, from Reverend Kevin D. Annett, Secretary of the International Tribunal into Crimes of Church and State. And then he has a letter posted here to this president telling him that he is going to be an accessory to the crime if he tries to prevent them from going in and arresting the Pope when he steps down, and the successing Pope, the successor to the Pope.
Okay. Yeah. I just, once again, I understand what they're attempting to do. I understand their. I understand what you're saying. I just, I look at this, and you know, I've got to ask. Well, you know, anyone can, for example. Well, we saw it here in the United States with Obama, citizens grand jury. That was basically meaningless. Now, I'm not saying this is meaningless, or I'm not saying the charges are without merit or with merit. Without comment on that, you know, I'm just trying to figure out who and what this organization is. And to this point, I've only seen one person's name on this. What we'll do is we'll do some research on this to find out, you know, who these tribunal members are, because only one is listed on the website, and that's Kevin Annett from Canada.
Right.
So,
right.
So we'll look into this and see what's up with this.
He does a lot in the way of protecting children who have been trafficked and who have gone through rapes and been murdered and things like that. That you know, he's in defense of them. And another thing that I saw today was about Martin Malachy. Malachy Martin. I read some interesting information about him, and I read something about you know, he was talking about how the smoke is in the Vatican, the smoke of Satan is in the Vatican since John Paul IV or John Paul VI, and that there was a satanic ritual between the Vatican and here in the United States, in Charleston, South Carolina. I don't know if you guys have heard anything about that either, but it's in some of the books that Martin Malachy wrote. Malachy Martin.
Yeah, Malachy Martin, right. That was, I think, Windswept House. I could be wrong. I could be wrong in that. Beyond what he has written in Windswept House, and my previous association with Kathleen Keating when she was doing radio, I don't know anything more about that. But certainly, like I said, we could find out more about this.
Yeah, there was a simultaneous call. It happened in 1963 when there was a satanic rite ritual that took place, and it was between there was a phone call from Charleston, South Carolina, to the Vatican when this supposed satanic rite ritual took place, and Satan sat in the Vatican. That's when he really got into the Vatican. And I don't know, it's just all amazing, all this stuff. I just can't wait till the Lord Jesus comes back. And we all have to be praying for all of our loved ones and family members, that they accept Jesus, those that don't know him, that they accept him, and that they'll, you know, they'll have his blood covering them to get through these times that we're in right now.
Yes, I agree. And caller, thank you very much for alerting us to the website, as well as the other issue with the satanic ritual. I heard about that. You know, once again, it
it does warrant some additional investigation and questions need to be answered on that. But I've got to say this. What I find very interesting and perhaps even, I wouldn't say more relevant, but equally relevant, is recall, if you will, John Paul I, his 33-day reign back in 1978. And the question is, you know, was John Paul the first murdered? And certainly he might have been. And recall at that time, he wanted and he was really looking for an audit of the bank, the money of, you know, within the bank. And as investigators, we always have that mantra, follow the money. So, you know, but once again, and folks, this is not Catholic bashing. What we're doing is just, because this could happen and does happen in all organizations involving man. Man is fallible. And, you know, so, but indeed, interesting things you point out, caller. God bless you.
Okay, God bless you guys, too. Thanks a lot for your program.
Thanks. All right.
Okay,
thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Interesting, Joe. You know, John Paul I, In God's Name, a book written by David Yalop, I'm looking at reading. 6 million copies were sold. It was his second, two publications, actually, and there's a lot of information about the Pope, 33-day reign, and the speculation about his being murdered. There's some pretty compelling arguments, if you will, about this and why the motives behind it that are even relevant today. So I just wanted to bring that to people's attention. That was John Paul I in 1978.
All right, we're going to move along on the phones here. Area code 503, you're up next. You're live on the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Hi, this is Terry. I called a couple of nights ago right at the end of your show, and you said I should probably call back again sometime.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying the topic tonight. It looks like your show is titled Signs of the Times, and I wanted to, start with the question you asked a couple of callers ago. What do you make of all the signs that we're seeing right now? And I think that there are two primary reasons why God gives us these signs. One is, I think, to encourage believers, you know, because we know that God foretold ahead of time what would happen. And the fact that we see these things beginning to happen is an encouragement. And I think it's also a way to wean us from the world, you know, to begin to get us to look at his kingdom coming rather than looking for our best life now here. You know, we're not to be looking for ultimate fulfillment of every good thing here in this world as it is now before Jesus comes back. So,
well, that's true.
And that, yeah.
We can't look. There are no spiritual or there are no solution or political solutions to spiritual problems, as Steve says, and we have
absolutely
to look. You know, we have to look to the divine for answers, not with man. So you're absolutely right, Terry. But go ahead.
Yeah, we have a sin problem.
Yes,
we need our Savior from sin in the world, you know, in society as well as individually. But the other reason I think for the signs is a warning of greater judgment to come. You know, God, more and more I see, you know, I study the prophecies about the terrible things that are coming. You listen to Tom Horn and Steve Quayle and you get a real good idea just how dark and evil those things are that are coming. And but it makes me think of God's mercy, you know, how merciful God is to do everything possible to keep as many people as possible out of hell. You know, the things that are coming will be like hell on earth, but if it means that more people come to believe in Jesus and are, you know, eternally blessed, then it's worth all the, you know, all the fear and the pain and the trial and tribulation that's going to be happening in the world.
Well, let me ask you this. How are you coping in a practical sense? What are you doing in a practical sense? I know the spiritual aspect is a dominant part of what you're saying, but practically speaking, how are you preparing, for example? Mm. Or are you preparing?
Sure. I believe in, you know, I have three young children and a wife, you know, to provide and protect for. And I, you know, so I have some responsibility to them and, you know, other fellow believers in my church. I feel some obligation to, you know, give them, you know, talk with them about what I'm doing to prepare, you know, practically. Like you said, I think that all the usual things that you hear about on a program like yours, you know, having some storage of food and you know, taking care of your finances, not putting trust in, you know, the current economic system as it is and paper money, you know, basic things like that, I think are wise. You know, I don't put my trust in those things. I ultimately, you know, I have to lean on God and His protection and His provision. But I do those things. I mean, I pay quite a bit of attention to what's going on in the world economically. I think that you can make a real strong case from Bible prophecy that there will be tremendous value in gold and silver and all commodities at the end of this age. And I think we're so close now that, you know, it's pretty easy to see that that's getting set up to happen as well, that, you know, people will be fighting wars, you know, invading Israel, for example, to take a spoil, you know, listed in Bible prophecy. First among the spoil is gold and silver. So,
right.
I think that those are some practical things.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I was just curious because sometimes, you know, we go or people have a tendency to go all spiritual or all practical,
yeah.
You know, and
sure.
there's a lack of a balance there, and I was just curious as to where
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, but, and there's actually that kind of gets to what I really wanted to talk about practically is, you know, what. I spent a lot of time looking at, you know, I listen to other prophecy teachers and do my own study, and I think I spent a lot of time focusing on the sequence of events and when things are going to happen in what order, prophetically speaking, and basically, you know, the big picture is, and it's good to know these things ahead of time. God gives them to us in His Word for a reason, you know, especially for those who are going to be living through some of this. I think I can see more and more clearly exactly how things are going to happen and what order they're going to happen. And knowing that ahead of time could be very valuable, practically speaking, you know, just knowing that, you know, there's three great wars that are prophesied to come against Israel. Each one is going to be successfully bigger and with greater interventions from God to protect Israel, and I'm talking about the, you know, the Psalm 83 war, and then the Ezekiel 38-39, and then the final, you know, war of Armageddon.
Right.
I see those as three different successive, you know, each one is bigger and bigger, and I think that they're all about a few years apart between the first two, and then more like about 10 or 11 years apart between the last two. And you can get that, you know, by looking at some of the details, like the, you know, the burning of weapons for 7 years after the Gog Magog war. That
and the burying of the bodies.
That gives you a good idea when that's going to start. So
yeah.
And before those, even before Psalm 83, I think there's reason to believe ahead of those, even a few years ahead of those, which these could happen any day now, and I think that they won't. You know, be too much further in the future, maybe a couple of years. But one is the destruction of Damascus in Syria, which is in Isaiah 17:1,
Right.
And then the other.
And that because of the Benghazi, the exacerbation of that from Benghazi, and actually the facilitation. And don't forget, caller, and I'd like to remind people when we're talking about this that really that's the agenda of the Saudis, and we are the military might for the Saudis acting like that. So we are actually, through this Obama regime, really laying the groundwork for Isaiah 17 or the destruction of Damascus. And people lament about the 60,000 dead already in Syria, but it's going to be 4 million plus, and majority or a lot of those are going to be Christians, the Alawites and the Christians. It's going to spread from that local regional war to a world war. So you're exactly right.
I think you can see some foreshadowing, some forewarning already in the news events about, you know, Syria being kind of the headquarters of helping to facilitate the enemies of Israel, having all the weapons of mass destruction that they do. You know, Israel has even said in the news that they will, if Syria tries to fire WMDs or maybe even any kind of missiles at Tel Aviv, they will destroy Damascus. They basically said that in the news.
Right.
And I think that a real likely scenario is there's a prophecy at the end of Jeremiah 49 about the attack on Iran. Not that many people are familiar with that one. It's gotten a little bit more popularity since Bill Salus wrote his last book. But there's a prophecy against Elam, which is in Iran, where the nuclear facilities are. And and Isaiah 17:1 will happen basically simultaneously, and because I think that if a group of nations, and I don't know if Israel will be included, but I think it's clear in Jeremiah 49 that it's a group of nations that come. You know, some people think it's going to be Israel alone that attacks Iran's nuclear facilities. It'll be a group of nations, and then I think that'll trigger Syria. Preparing to fire weapons of mass destruction at Israel, and then Israel will probably preemptively strike Damascus before that happens and then fulfill that Isaiah prophecy at that point.
Well, one last thing that I'd like to mention that people really, a lot of times people forget is the fact that these countries that are mentioned, to really match them up from biblical prophecy to current events, you know, these national, these lines of nations were drawn up after World War One, and they were drawn up by the British, and primarily, and they were without concern for the tribal unity or the consistency of the tribal or type of you know, the population. So in other words, these lines were made artificially to continue conflict, which is why that Pike Mazzini letter makes so much sense, because when you look back at this, exactly what were they thinking after the First World War when they drew up the and World War II after they drew up the lines, the territorial lines?
I think I know why. If you look at the big picture, you know, and I agree, I've learned much in recent years, especially from Dr. Stan Monteith's radio program on Radio Liberty. He talks quite a bit about this, you know, about war being a racket. You know, war is a means to control and to make money. And he says that the U.S. has the best enemies that money can buy, because there's just too much of a history of us, you know, funding this group or that group, and then next thing you know, they're one of our enemies, and they, you know, they'll fund both sides, Iran against Iraq, and so I think that the big picture is that there are really two overarching grand conspiracies throughout history, and one is the conspiracy of Satan, and the other is the conspiracy of God, and God, you know, let Satan do his thing. As it says at the end of Genesis, you know, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God will turn Satan's evil into good, so that, what you have is I think that one of the big picture things to keep in mind, the end game for Satan is to build an army to attack Jesus when he comes back. As you can see, that that's at the end of the book of Revelation.
Right.
And so he is, I think it very literally, he's training the world for war. We don't even know all the technology we have now, probably, you know, what's out there. And you know, I think that, the reason for the fact that we have enough nuclear weapons to destroy the world many times over is not so much because I think it's more the purpose is to have things ready for the final battle. And I think Satan is deluded enough to think that he can, prepare these kind of weapons. And he has other weapons, supernatural things that are beyond our understanding. There's a lot of supernatural occultic things going on within our military in recent years too. So there's a kind of a blending, between the natural weapons and the supernatural. But
interesting. Yeah. Interesting you say that. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Very good. And you mentioned about the final battle. It just brings me back to when I was here when Joe and I were opening the program, we were talking about Saudi Arabia being the engine behind what we're seeing today. I mean, this goes back. Look, this goes back into the 40s of 1947 with Harry Truman and King Saud. Truman signed an agreement to defend Saudi Arabia. In 63, Kennedy sent fighters to protect the Saudi royals when Nasser was going to attack. Egypt's Nasser was going to attack the Saudi royals. And from that, we can see the extension. And people have been paying attention over the years. In 79, Saudi Arabia began to replace Iran as our regional ally. And at that time, and people forget history. Well, what happened in 79? We were arming the Saudis to ensure the stable flow of oil. So all of this that we're talking about today has been set in motion so many years ago. And we sold more AWACS, 110 million apiece. We sold AWACS to Saudi Arabia under the Reagan administration. We sold 5 AWACS to Saudi Arabia in a $5.5 billion package back then. Now, the reason I'm mentioning this is the implied reasoning back at that time was we were fighting communism. Well, as it turns out now, communism is coming back in the form of this one world global governance, and this is where what you had just said kind of fits in, not only with the supernatural natural weapons, but also the Psalm 83 war, and Isaiah 17, and so on. So this all kind of fits together. It's been in a long We've been on a long road to where we're at today.
Yeah. Terry,
I want
to thank you for your call. We're going to have to move on. We got a few more calls to get to before the end of the show.
Thanks, Terry, buddy.
Okay. Yep, thank you.
Great call, and God bless you. All right. We're going to move right along. We have at least 5 callers on hold and about 16 minutes left, so we'll try to keep them brief. We're going to go to Pierre next, and then 239. Pierre, you're live on the Hagman & Hagman Report. Talk fast.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing good. Talk fast.
Thanks on in our chat room. I got to be quick. I'll be short with things. There is a series of dots that have been connected, at least as far as I'm concerned, in reference to Obama's State of the Union speech, the meteor that slammed into Chelyabinsk, and the Pope stepping down. We're seeing a succession here of events that are, for a large part, very well connected, but they're just on different levels of this three-dimensional chessboard, for lack of a better term. And prophecy is playing out to a T on this. I do not believe, in terms of the meteor that went into Chelyabinsk, that the Russians shot it down. I don't believe it at all, because there's no footage to show a surface-to-air missile, a SAM, launching off to intercept that meeting. I didn't see it. At the same time, there's been accusations from the Russian opposition leader out over there saying that it was the U.S. testing a hypersonic weapon to put the Russians on notice. As far as I'm concerned, if I were the Russians, I would consider that a blatant act of aggression. That would be a first strike issue, which would cause for immediate retaliation. I thought about it carefully. Obviously, the Russians hadn't responded at all today. We haven't heard any air raid alarms go off, so I don't think that that was the case, that it was a hypersonic weapon that went over Russia. I just don't believe that at all. On a side note with that, the Russians had sent long-range bombers over into Guam, which is something they never do. Guam
was
visited by two long-range bombers, Bears, and were intercepted by U.S. Air Force fighters and were guided on out of the area. And it looks like Putin is definitely flexing his Russian muscle, along with Chinese as well. So there's an issue of power projection and conflict that is due to happen in the Pacific. That's inevitable. And we're seeing a concerted effort from our country's two erstwhile, I guess, adversaries that are banding up against us in the Pacific. Everywhere Barack Hussein Obama goes, stupid stuff happens. Every time he has a speech, something stupid happens. And we're witnessing it. I believe that he is a conduit of some unspeakable evil. I do not believe that this man is the Antichrist. I know that.
No, but Pierre, let me stop you right there. I don't know if it's stupidity or orchestrated deliberate chaos. And we don't believe he's the Antichrist either. But go on.
But that's my take on this. I know you guys have other callers that that are waiting, and that's T-minus 15 minutes.
Yes.
People, my advice is do not give in to the obvious so much when you see it. We're humans. We have that fallacy of, okay, we see it, and this is what it is. Sometimes you have to take a step outside the box to look in to get a clearer, more defined perspective on what's going on. Not everyone has that talent to think outside the box. That's not against you because everyone's wired a particular way. But when it comes into aspects of gathering information, whether it's open source or covert, you have to let go of the emotional parts of you and let the objective part of you come in to see it for what it is. We are in dark times. That is indisputable. We know war is on the horizon on an asymmetrical level from the domestic front here in America to what's going on in, outside our borders. We should know equally that our enemy smells our blood, so they're ready to come at America. It's just they're waiting for that right moment, like you said, for that clock to tick at that right moment. It's all going to go down. It's going to be completely chaotic. But you almost equally understand one thing about the enemy. Like in any battle plan that is set, I don't care if it's 40, 50, 60, even a century in the past, no plan that is ever been carefully laid out has ever survived an attack after the first round's left the barrel. Let that sink into your heads for a moment so you understand. Just because crap's coming our way here in America doesn't mean we're going to fall. It doesn't mean we're going to give in lightly either. So don't lose the faith. The Lord has your back. He's got his plan in motion. It is up to you as the individuals to keep yourselves locked on with him so you can see things through, so you can experience the greater glory for the coming of the return of his son. Whether you live through it or not, so long as you kept the faith, you will see the glory. And you will experience it. If you falter, if you lack, if you become lukewarm, nice knowing you, you know where that option leads you, because there is no gray area, no middle ground. And that's pretty much all I really have to say on that. And for my final parting here, to let everyone know, I will be co-hosting our show tonight on Freedomizer Radio, freedomizerradio.com, and blogtalkradio.com/freedomizerradio. It's called Exposing the Enemy. My co-host is Godsend Angel. You're all welcome to listen. Our show comes at 10:30 Pacific and 11:30 Mountain Standard Time. We're only on for 1 hour. We stay real with it. We try to keep people informed on things. We hit as many topics as we can, and then we get into our main topic here. We try to take some calls when we can. But within that hour's time, folks, Angel and I hope that we could really open up eyes, because what the Hagmans got here and the hundreds of others like Steve Quayle, The Hawk, and what have you, those shows, we're all carrying the torch, folks. We're enlightening you on different levels. So spread the word. Open your eyes up. If you can't catch something, everything is archived. You know, all these various shows, not just the show that I'm on, but like with the Hagmans, are archived. Listen, we're trying to help you.
Yeah. One more time, Pierre.
Exposing the enemy.
Give it out again.
Yeah, it's called the URL. There's two URLs. It's www.freedomizerradio.com.
Okay.
It's with a Z, Becca. It's with a Z. Freedomizerradio.
Okay.
And then on Blog Talk Radio, it's blogtalkradio.com/freedomizer. Freedomizer Radio, correction. And the name of the show is called Exposing the Enemy. And we're on, like I said, from on the Pacific time, it's going to be 10:30 at night to midnight. And then on Mountain Standard time, it's going to be 11:30 at night to 1 in the morning. So the show's only on for 1 hour, folks. Like I said, we will love to have all of you listen in.
Beautiful.
And, we're carrying a torch at the wee hours, folks, because this is a 24/7 effort, folks. On
we got to stick together. We got to stick together and spread the word.
Yeah, we
Pierre,
have, because a house divided cannot stand.
God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much.
Jesus.
All right.
Thanks, Pierre.
Thank you, Joe.
I'll tell you, like I said, you know,
I've listened to a few of their shows. They got some good shows that I've heard.
You can't look. We, and this is one thing we will promote the people who are promoting the truth and educating others. So, God bless them for their efforts. Want to wish them well. And man, you know, go ahead.
Right before we go to the next call, this is the Bible verse I was looking for tonight. And he said also to the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time?
Mm.
And that's in reference to what we're seeing happening on Earth today. 293, we're going to go to you.
Wow.
You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Or 239.
239, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and if Pierre's still listening for the show tonight, I want you to kind of pay attention to what I'm about to say, you guys, and keep me in your prayers. I got a question. Genesis 4:9 says, am I my brother's keeper? I'm an activist and an environmentalist, you guys, and in Northwest Ohio, they're murdering my family and my friends. I have an online operation. It's called Operation Storm Cell. Storm Cell is one word. I've been working with the EPA for several years, and big construction in Northwest Ohio is absolutely involved in murdering my family and my friends in Northwest Ohio.
That's one heck of an accusation, my friend.
That's not an accusation, pal. I've been working with the DOJ for 3 years.
Okay. All right.
I have a family member from Fremont, Ohio, Craig Burdine. I have some of my own family involved in it. It is not pretty.
All right. Look, can we contact you, or can you contact us off air? Like, can you send us an email? I'd love to hear more about this. Murder is.
Do you guys have the phone number?
Yes, we do.
Can we? The number you called in on. We can contact you on that number.
Yes, sir.
All right, because we'd like to hear more about this. I just
need that. If there ain't no signs of the times, have you guys heard of the term blackballed?
Of course.
Well, sorry to laugh, yes.
Well, I'm blackballed, fellas, and it is not pretty. It's the ugliest thing that I've ever seen in my life.
All right.
And I can tell you right now, I decided to bring my voice out on talk radio because of what just happened with Chris Dorner and a lot of other things that are going on. I just decided that I need to start getting this out to people.
What's your first name, sir?
Larry.
Larry? Okay.
All right.
We're going to contact you off air to get more information about this, because by you saying that, that your family is being murdered, obviously that's an accusation, to us, an accusation at the moment that would warrant additional investigation. And
I don't like to use the term accusation. I've been using with the Department of Justice the term allegation.
That's fine.
It's a better word.
It's actually a more precise legal term, so we'll say allegation. But yes, in fact, we will. If you don't hear from us,
we'll call this weekend.
Yeah, okay, Joe, you'll take care of that. Yeah, because we need to stick together and expose corruption wherever it might be. If you are unsafe, then, or if things are happening to you, your family,
sounds worse than unsafe. Yeah.
Well, anyway, this gentleman, his position's unsafe. Then, of course, if we can help you in any way, we will. And then that's something that we want to do. But my goodness, wow. Okay.
Yeah, Larry, we'll keep you in our prayers, and we will contact you. And you stay strong.
And please, anybody that wants to look up the information, Operation Storm Cell has all the information. It's got there's a photo album there. There's a video that I made to promote what's going on that asks that question, am I my brother's keeper? And you know, just please, anybody that's willing, please get involved. Thanks for your prayers and your time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Larry, and we'll be in touch. And you know, we are. I'm looking at this Operation Storm Cell now. I see a YouTube. We'll have to research this a little bit more. I see some YouTubes there, and of course, a Twitter online presence that it would appear to be.
Well, this the way he sounded in the call. I mean, we're definitely going to contact him.
Sure.
Keep him in your prayers, ladies and gentlemen, because if what he's saying is accurate, then, you know, we have a lot of this that is not talked about or ever revealed before the fact. And hopefully, you know, this gentleman can remain safe. And
yeah, we'll get all the information and then give it to our listeners as it becomes developed. I will mention this. I did talk to a Marine's mother here recently, a Gold Star mother, meaning the Marine was died in combat. I am convinced that this Marine was executed based on all of the evidence, and she has been harassed and is being harassed by DHS and the military, specifically the military, for cause. And when I say for cause, because she's trying to expose exactly what's going on. And if there's never a more credible individual that I've spoken to about things currently going on. So the reason I mention that is because I really want to bring her on the air, and hopefully in due time she will come on the air, perhaps within the next couple of weeks, to explain or to tell her story about what is really or what had been really going on and perhaps still is going on in Afghanistan and behind the scenes with this regime and some Medal of Honor winners. But so just an incredible story.
Yeah, we're reaching the closing moments of our program. We can get one more phone call in, but don't forget Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Ah, great show.
Nathan Liao, he will be joining us talking about a follow-up on the portals opening and what will happen, or what he thinks that something's going to happen the following day on President's Day. But real quick, we got about a minute and a half, area code 803, we're coming to you now. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Yes, you posted something on your website many years ago about, it says the next attack will come from within.
Yes.
You know, cripple your economy and bring it to your knees.
Yes.
Doesn't that pertain to what we're going through today? And is there any way you could repost that on your website?
In fact, were you in this office earlier today? Because we were talking about that. Okay. Yeah, we were talking about this. In fact, we are going to do that this weekend. The issue about being attacked from within, a takedown from within, and what has been being planned. And we have some information to actually expand on that. So I'm glad you brought that up, caller. And I want to thank you for bringing that up. Unbelievable timing. That's all I've got to say. That's either that, or like I said, you were listening to our conversation. Yeah. But wow.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. And, you know, I was just wondering. I thought it pertained to what we're going through today. So.
Well, just to be clear, though, when did the attack from within, just to be clear, we're talking about the same piece because there were three different pieces that were written. When was this posted, did you say?
Oh, many years ago. We had to be having some out of them.
Okay. All right. I think I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, we'll take care of it. You're going to see additional information added to that as well. So so keep checking because we are going to be expanding the website tremendously as well. It's just a matter of time and manpower. It just seems like we haven't been able to get ahead. But God bless you, caller. You just have taken us out.
Thank you. Thank y'all.
All right.
God bless you. Good night.
God bless you. It's the end of the program, Joe. That's
yeah.
It.
What a crazy week we've had as far as news is concerned. And just get close to the Lord. Knock on the door and ask for whatever it is you need, even though he knows you need it before you ask.
That's right.
Repent.
Repent. And also hug your other one, your wife, your husband, your children, and you know what?
A stranger.
Give your pets a hug, too. God bless, folks.
Have a good night. We'll see you on Sunday, 8 p.m.